talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
These two young men have attracted a tremendous following among the youth of America with their lyrical interpretation of the world we live in. We think you will find the next hour both entertaining and stimulating.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Do you have anything significant to add here?
Hey, I'm working out some material, man. What's eating you?
What did you just say?
What's eating you?
Say that again.
What's eating you?
One more time, please.
What's eating you?
Like Ronald Reagan.
Will, what's eating you?
Like a question on Jeopardy.
What is, what's eating you?
In a racist Chinese accent.
Oh, what's eating you?
Like a sexy young schoolgirl.
What's eating you?
One more time, regular.
What's eating you? What's up with him?
And now...
Hey, there's a lot of talk about this singer Adele. Talented, but everybody knows she's fat, right?
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
Come on with that.
Is that from Children's Hospital?
The What's Eating You?
Yeah. Yes, Children's Hospital was so good. I love that show so much. Finally, a show that I have time to watch.
Yes.
13 minutes long.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's 10. Depends.
Hey, party people, welcome into another Kevin and Bean show. Believe it or not, it is already Thursday the 5th of January. Wow, this year is just flying on by.
We're practically at Christmas.
It's practically Christmas. Weird Al tweeted yesterday, can you believe Target already has their Christmas decorations up? And I thought, you know, that is rushing the season. That's a little bit early. All right, I want to get started with a story in the news about this painting. I actually have brought it up on my laptop so everybody can see the painting.
Huh.
See the painting?
Yeah.
Kevin, your thoughts?
Crappy. I mean, it just looks like it's rawhide or something, like it's a rug made out of rawhide. It's just...
Could your daughters have done that 10 years ago?
Yeah. Could I do it blindfolded? Yeah.
He is one of those abstract painters. This painting is called 1957 J Number 2. It is 9.5 feet tall by 13 feet wide and is estimated to be worth... How much do you think that painting is estimated to be worth?
I'm going
to
say $9.99.
Lisa, what's your guess? I think that's a 10 bucks, pretty good guess. What do you think, Lisa?
I'm going to say $5,000.
Oh, another excellent guess. No, the museum where it is on display in Denver estimates it is worth between $30 and $40 million.
What? Why?
Is that between great? 30 and 40 million. Apparently, Clifford Still is his name. He's a famous abstractionist painter from North Dakota. This museum is all his paintings. That's all that's in the museum is his paintings.
Wow.
Four of his paintings were sold at the Sotheby's auction house in New York recently for more than $114 million.
Oh,
for
my
his
God.
Paintings.
Is this guy still alive?
He's not. He's been dead for a while. His wife bequeathed them to the city. But the reason I bring all this up is not because it's art talk on Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's because this particular painting is in the news because a 36-year-old Denver woman showed up at the museum yesterday, apparently drunk, leaned up against the painting, then punched it. Slid down it and urinated on herself.
Wow.
Then turned around and rubbed her butt on the painting.
She feels exactly like I do about the painting.
Recapping now, the Clifford Still painting worth $30 to $40 million. She rubbed her ass on it.
That's what it deserves.
I take it back. It wasn't yesterday. I see now on the police report. It was 3:30 p.m. on December 29th, so a few days ago. Damage is estimated at about $10,000 on the painting. She allegedly committed the offense with her pants pulled down, according to the police report, struck the painting repeatedly with her fist. Scratches and other damage to the painting were visible.
Was it just that one? She go into the museum and just attack that one painting?
I don't know. I mean,
I really don't like this one.
This is the only one. This is the only one that is mentioned in the article. The owner of the gallery says if the painting's canvas wasn't pierced, it likely can be restored. However, they say that the damage now has become a part of the piece's history. It's damaged because people know that it happened.
Oh, man.
Because now...
So now they've got to up the price.
Yeah, it could be worth more.
Now it's that famous painting, right? Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, here's her mugshot, by the way. She has quite a wide assortment of bizarre tattoos, and she does have the devil in her face.
She does. And she's got an ass that would cover that whole...
But for a woman to go on a painting, that takes some work.
Well,
it really does.
It doesn't say she. It said she urinated in front of the painting. Did not get any urine, but she did urinate after and then rubbed her butt on the painting.
She wiped with the painting.
It sounds like she wiped with the painting. Yeah.
Here is. I might just be. This might just be me, but art is one of those things where you go, that's absurd.
It's subjective by design.
Yeah.
It speaks to every person differently.
If somebody was not saying 30 to 40 million, you didn't know who right. made that painting.
You would not buy it at a garage sale.
You wouldn't buy it for yeah. any amount of money.
For a dollar at a garage sale, you would look at that and go, why are they trying to sell their crappy kid stuff?
So what you need to do is you need to just go into your garage, make crap, then put it on a thing, and then give it a good backstory. That's all it takes for art, right? A good backstory.
I don't know how this
Clifford smuggled out of Africa during the war, and it was a painting, and the guy it was blind. Since birth, you know, you come up with a good story and you
can make by an elephant.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, somehow this guy's work has become so valuable that it sells for tens of millions of dollars. But I just love the fact. I mean, I don't love the fact because, you know, this isn't how you treat art.
Yeah,
but
that art. That's how
if it's
going
to happen to any painting, I guess it's okay that it happened to that. But she rubbed her butt on the painting.
She sure did.
Boy, I got to tell you, I'm with Lisa, though. This story is 100% men. That do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's never a woman that does it.
That's what makes that painting so darn special now.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Now it's worth $300 million. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, fresh wound. Can't talk yet.
Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Yeah.
Talking about being on TV and radio and TV and radio and TV. We also have, you didn't know you were pregnant. We're going to take some calls on that topic today.
Dave reminded me that when he took me to the emergency room a number of years ago, when the thing popped out of my eye, that I was there waiting to see a doctor at the same time that a family came in with a teenage girl, I think she was around 18 maybe, who was going into labor. And the whole family was freaked out because none of them, including the girl, knew she was pregnant.
Oh, my God.
And Dave remembers the incident better than I do, but he said she didn't even look pregnant. But, in fact, she was having a baby, so it does happen.
We have comedian Brad Williams in the studio today.
Very
excited about that. He's always funny. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean. He was on fire, apparently, over the holidays. So we make poor Chip. I mean, really. We make poor Chip go through them and pull them. So I feel bad for her, but we're going to use them today. We also have your tickets for Coldplay. We're going to have a game that you can play in, excuse me, in the 6 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. And that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 551.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on?
Things.
Okay.
What things?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Bean.
Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock.
It's official. Death Cab for Cutie frontman Ben Gibbard was served divorce papers by his wife of 2 years, actress Zooey Deschanel.
Ha-ha!
A couple announced they'd broken up in November, but now the legal wheels have been set in motion. She is claiming irreconcilable differences as the reason for the split.
Well, excuse me, she moved into an apartment with 3 dudes. What's her husband supposed to do?
Already.
It's early. It's early for the cat to start hitting the keyboard.
Don't you love Zooey so much?
Yeah, it's irreconcilable differences because she's just too damn cute. And he's not cute enough, and they just could not make that work.
I hope they put that in the paperwork as well.
Yeah. While we're talking about famous splits, Russell Brand, of course, and his wife Katy Perry are on the outs. However, they remain the best of friends, according to Russell.
That's great. They're celebrities, Ralph. That's what celebrities do.
In fact, Russell said this week that he would like to work with her in a film. He would like to co-star with her in a movie.
Is that code?
He's been working on a script that would feature both Katie and himself in featured roles, and he still hopes it would happen. He says he adores her, and they're parting on very good terms, and they would still like to work together. I'm sure that'd be very comfortable for not only them, but everyone else involved. I recommend it highly. More relationship news. Kanye West's ex-girlfriend has nothing nice to say about Kim Kardashian. Her name is Amber Rose. You may be familiar with Amber.
The bald one.
Yes. She tells Star Magazine that Kanye cheated on her with porn star Kim Kardashian.
Yeah! Wow.
Who happened to be with Reggie Bush at the time.
Wow.
Amber swears that Kim initiated the affair by sending Kanye racy pictures of herself. I find that hard to believe, that Kim Kardashian would get naked in front of a camera.
She's so modest.
She is not the kind of girl to do anything sexual involving a camera. Oh, wait a minute.
There's no doubt to this one, is there?
Amber tried to contact Kim, she claims, during this alleged infidelity, but Kim would refuse to answer her calls. Amber says she would like to thank Kim for being a home wrecker, that's her word, because she's now found true love with Wiz Khalifa.
Hmm.
So it all worked out in the end. So that's what we're saying, people, is just cheat. Just cheat, 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 because invariably everything works out in the end for the best.
It's healthy.
It is healthy.
Well, it does sound like Kanye's fine, Amber's fine, and Kim Kardashian is miserable, so I'm satisfied with the outcome.
The best thing for everybody involved. You ready for Kardashian the magazine?
No!
Oh, dear God.
Unbelievable.
You want to pick up Kardashian the magazine on the newsstand near you?
I thought America had moved on past the Kardashians.
You're so wrong. There have never been more Kardashian shows. My wife watches them. They're on all day
Your wife's part of the problem.
She is.
You should divorce her.
And I'll
that would be perfect, acceptable grounds for divorce, I think.
I'll walk into the room. I'll see it's a Kardashian. I'll just turn around and walk right back out. I can't take it.
What's your
fascination? Irreconcilable Kardashians. You can file for that in the paperwork.
I don't know, Bean.
Keep all your money.
Why does she care about those people?
I do not know. I can't understand it, but it's on all the time.
And how do they fill up those shows? I've never seen one of them. Like, if they don't have a job... or a goal, it's not a game show. What do they do during the course of those shows?
I have to wonder whether Kim will find her missing diamond teardrop
That's
earrings.
That's the kind of episode they have?
Yes. Oh. She goes swimming and she loses her valuable earrings. How are they going to get all the champagne to the party on time? There's a lot of drama on that show.
I didn't realize it. I guess I was wrong
really
about it.
No drama on that show.
New York Post reports that the Kardashians are close to signing a deal with American Media Incorporated, which owns Star, Shape, the National Enquirer, a few other tabloids, and they're going to launch their own magazine this spring.
Well, as ridiculous as that sounds, I bet they have data that when the Kardashians are on the cover of a People or an Us or something like that, it sells big.
But what do you put inside the magazine?
Oh, I think they're probably great writers.
The magazine with is what I'm saying. This is not exactly an Oprah Winfrey level of intellect we're dealing with here. Of course, the story does mention Oprah's O magazine and Martha Stewart Living and Every Day with Rachel Ray, a successful celebrity-based magazines. Whoever remains to see if people will want to buy the Kardashians every week or every month.
Not interested!
That's what I think. Jonah Hill's off the market.
Oh.
Sorry, ladies. He just gets thin. Can have all the punani he wants. And now he's going to tie himself down with one woman. What's he thinking? Good news is he can get fat again.
Bad timing. Well, true.
Apparently, he is very close to getting married to Ali Hoffman. If that name sounds familiar to you at all, it's because she is the daughter of Dustin Hoffman.
Wow.
In fact, that's how Jonah got into the show business.
Really?
Apparently, Jonah and Ali were classmates together, and they were doing a school play, and Dustin came and saw him and recommended that he become a professional actor.
Wow, so, he was right.
Right place, right
time.
How about that? And Hugh Jackman just can't stay off of Broadway. He loves him some Broadway. He just wrapped up his sold-out run of his back-on-Broadway one-man show. And he's just signed to return to Broadway in 2013. He'll be returning. He will be starring in a new musical based on the life of Harry Houdini. Now, Kevin, I know you're not a Broadway guy.
No.
You don't like musicals.
No.
But this one sounds pretty promising.
Involved magic? Now it's good.
No, but Aaron Sorkin is writing the book for the musical.
Hack.
He knows what he's doing.
I do love him.
And the songs are written by Wicked composer Stephen Schwartz, who also did Godspell and many other musicals.
Friends don't let friends come see their crappy play.
Oh, come on.
It's just a rule.
And Hollywood Reporter says it's official. Celebrity Rehab has been put on hold. Maybe we can ask Dr. Drew about this when we talk about him later. That has not been renewed for the upcoming season.
Does that give Dr. Drew 45 free minutes a day now?
Yes, now he can actually treat a patient, says here.
Only
in this
one?
Just one. And the patient has to be running by his office. Drew will diagnose him from the window.
It's a drive-by practice.
Yes. Part of the problem seems to be that many of the patients that Dr. Drew has treated in the past on the show are dropping dead.
Well, there's that.
Jeff Conaway, Mike Starr, both died last year, leaving some people, they say, with a bad taste in their mouths regarding the program. It doesn't seem like to have a lot of success.
In Drew's defense, though.
That's absurd.
In Drew's defense, he's treating people who have lifelong, serious addictions to drugs.
I understand that, but it doesn't fit into the television mentality of you want results at the end of your program.
How dare you?
Let's say we watched football every week and nobody ever won. Let's just say, I think maybe people wouldn't not want to watch football every week.
I think they lived longer than they would have if they hadn't gotten on Celebrity Rehab. That's what I think.
That's absurd.
That's probably true.
Poor Dr. Drew.
Is that a good thing, though, in these cases? If Jeff Conaway, did he really need to live longer?
Well,
did he have a great last couple years?
No,
is that what you're saying?
Right.
Anyway, spokesperson for VH1 says Drew's busy schedule certainly doesn't help things either because has 47 television programs. Got that going on. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Robert Duvall. That's a pretty good actor
He's
right there.
He's the best.
Robert Duvall.
Something.
81 years old today. Kevin's favorite talk show host, Charlie Rose, is 70 years old today.
How long have you been in show business?
Why can't a man just have a conversation with another person?
Because it's boring.
Because there need to be fireworks. There needs to be something to look
band,
at.
A studio audience. And
why can't the guy
cooking segment? Can't they just sit at a table and have a conversation?
Why can't he try to be entertaining?
He is entertaining.
Why doesn't he try a little bit?
It's a fascinating show. It's just a real talk show. People having a real conversation about in-depth topics.
Boring.
Oh, for God's sake.
Boring.
Oscar-winning actress Diane Keaton celebrates her 66th birthday today. Ted Lang, or Lange, depending on who you talk to, from The Love Boat. He was Isaac, your bartender.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Was he Isaac? Was it Isaac?
That's right.
I don't know.
Yes.
64 years old today. Actor Vinnie Jones is 47. Marilyn Manson turns 43 years old today.
That's a rough 43.
Yeah. Well, he's got the makeup to fall back on, so no one ever really has to look see what he looks like. Bradley Cooper is 37. January Jones of Mad Men fame is 34. And Kristen Cavallari celebrates her 25th birthday. Ralph Garman, I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6 minutes, it's 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Whatever it is, you've got your own clock. You can look at the time. You don't need to count on us to get that right.
It's a giant clock with giant numbers. It really should be pretty easy.
Funny man Brad Williams joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Love Brad. Also, we'll be taking your calls later on. You didn't know you were pregnant. Another story in the news about a woman who had no idea that she was pregnant until she went into labor, so to give me birth. And we'll talk about this later. She's the person who's been watching that TLC show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, and making fun of those people for all these years.
What dumbasses.
So, anyway, how does that work?
Let's talk about this new feature that we love so much. It's not that new, but we do it every once in a while because Bean does not know how to tweet. And for that reason...
No, he knows how to tweet too goddamn much. That's the problem.
I'm not saying he doesn't know how to physically do it. I'm saying he doesn't know how to do it so that people are entertained by
it.
That
tweet.
Bean!
What is it you feel that you're doing with your tweets, Ralph, or you're doing with your tweets, Kevin, that is right if what I'm doing is wrong?
I will tell you what
considering that other people read them. That's the difference.
Yes. Honestly, look, we may not be funny, we may not be interesting, but we're trying to do both. For the reader.
What makes you think I'm not trying to do both?
No, this is tweeting masturbation is what this is. This is for a party of one, these tweets.
What makes you think I'm not interested? Because you don't have the ability to think about other people and what they're thinking when they
read. Well, I'm going to need some examples.
All right.
I don't feel like my tweets have been worth making fun of lately.
These are real.
Very upsetting. Just heard When I See You Smile by Bad English on the radio. No counselors or anything nearby to tell me why, though.
See, that's
for that
tweet.
That's a terrible song. I'm sorry, we forgot to mention this. We don't need further clarification.
What I'm saying, though, is that song is so bad that there's no explanation as to why it would be played on the radio in 2011 at the time.
Just tweet that every time you hear a song that's bad, then. Just put that tweet every time out there.
But that's exceptional. Come on.
That's tweet. So you're letting people know that there are bad songs being played on the radio?
Yes, I am.
Is that what you're giving them information about?
I'm launching an investigation because I need answers.
All right, but we don't need further clarification before we move on. I'm going to tell you right now, we all of us, I believe, understand your tweets.
I suggest maybe Wiz Khalifa's album should be filed under K instead of W, and the record store clerk looks at me like I'm the asshole.
Did you really?
Oh, that poor record store guy. Man. Can you imagine?
Who files Wiz Khalifa under W? First name Wiz, last name Khalifa.
Right, but you could understand how easily that mistake would be made by a guy who's making, what, minimum wage?
But
what does he care? He's sitting there, he's just trying to get through his miserable day so he can get home and hear you come with your stupid round glasses telling him that he doesn't have it labeled right.
Why not go ahead and put it in a place where people can find it?
Did the guy call you an asshole?
Well, I mean, he acted like you. I mean, he was, like, offended that I would suggest that maybe, I don't know, file it alphabetically. It might make it easier for the customers to find.
Right,
that's all.
I'm suggesting that the way you said it was wrong, and you should have been nicer.
I couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, yeah. Please.
I couldn't have been nicer.
Were the people just roaming around the store desperately looking for Wiz Khalifa albums, too? Because, you know, if I don't see it in K, you know where I'm going? I'm going to W. I'll be fine. I'll be fine, thanks.
I'll pick that up.
I'll catch that CD. Don't you worry about it.
Shouldn't have to go through hurdles. To find an album.
That is hurdles. That is a lot to go to two letters.
Yes, it is.
I like not working this week so much better than working that my wife suggested I need a rich mistress to keep it going. Do those exist?
What?
That was a legitimate question, by the way, because you guys got to admit, over the holidays, you were thinking, it's pretty cool not working.
Well,
if I could figure out a way to make this stick, I'd do it.
Right, but let me explain something to you. Everyone thinks that.
Right.
Everyone on the planet thinks
that. Right, but
yeah.
How do you know that some rich chick out there didn't see that tweet and go, oh, I can hook that up?
Because have you looked at yourself?
You know of all the ways to get money in the world?
Uh-huh.
That's the last thing that's going to happen to you.
Is it a hot chick is just going to call and offer it?
You're going to win the lottery first. You're going to get hit by a bank vault. There's going to be a lot of ways you're going to get money, and getting a woman to support you because you're so hot and sexy is the last on the list.
But I just want to make sure people understand that Bean is saying vacation is better than working.
Yes, that's my point.
That's the best.
Thank you for tweeting that
tweet. Bean. I just want to be a boy toy. That's all.
Many folks don't take Taylor Swift seriously just because she is cursed with being too young, too nice, and too attractive. I'm Bean.
I didn't add I'm Bean.
That's right. Tweet.
Bean.
I'm just saying a lot of people discount her because she's a pop singer.
We know what you're saying.
Unbelievably talented.
I'm gonna stab you in the heart.
A woman on King 5 News right now is named Erzabeth. Erzabeth!
That's it? That's the whole tweet?
Well, how can I not be outraged and fascinated at the same time by that?
That's that tweet.
That's no kind of name.
I had to share that with people.
Erzabeth, right? You would have done the same thing,
yes,
Lisa.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no,
you're on the couch watching TV and you go, that's an odd name. Yeah. Anyway.
That's what Lisa would have done. She would have just thought.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't tweet it.
Strange.
Well, I found out it's an Eastern European variation of the name Elizabeth.
Do not care.
I wouldn't have known that.
That's that tweet.
Happy tweet.
My serious crush on the Today Show's Ann Curry is getting uncomfortable.
What? For, who's that? Is that one of the hosts?
Ann Curry is the lead anchor along with Matt Lauer for the Today Show. She's a hot older Asian woman that I love so much.
And how is this getting uncomfortable?
Well, your pants only expand so much.
Like yours are.
That's that tweet.
You gotta be done now.
Wasn't there a guy named Zach Braff that used to exist and do things in the world at one time?
Okay, look. Zach Braff used to be really popular.
Is it that you think we need further clarification?
Yeah.
He was the star of Scrubs. We know.
State, the movie.
Got
he was
it.
Very hot. Very popular,
we understand all
but
that.
Now he's dropped off.
Right.
That's that tweet.
Face of the earth, he's vanished.
Right.
What's Zach Braff up to?
Our point is that's a fleeting thought, not a tweet.
Where's Zach Braff?
Or you know what you do? Take Zach Braff, put it in Google, and hit enter, and leave us the F alone.
All right. We're out of time.
No, we're not.
Tweet.
Bean.
The hairiest movie star ever is dead. So who's the new champ? Benicio del Toro? Sacha Baron Cohen? Sarah Silverman?
Oh, man.
Because Cheetah from the Tarzan movies died.
I didn't see that tweet, and I was like, who's the hairiest movie star who died?
I put a link. There was a link right on the tweet.
Yeah, because people are going to want to follow up on that.
Now we have to work to find out what your tweets mean.
It was Cheetah from the Tarzan movies.
Thanks for that tweet.
I'm going to tweet badly and make you research it to understand it.
Wow.
I was so annoyed.
Can we please be done now? Come on.
Can you please be done now? Come
with
on.
With life. Can you be done with life now?
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
106.7 K-Rock. This is K-R-O-Q, and it is 26 minutes after 6.
That Incubus, by the way?
Yes.
Playing the Weenie Roast. This is the earliest we've ever had confirmation of a band playing the Weenie Roast.
True.
Remember,
yeah,
that was the deal, because they couldn't make Acoustic Christmas. They're guaranteed for the Weenie Roast this year, so at least you got that going
Tickets
for you.
Go on sale tomorrow.
Not quite yet.
Line up. Get your wristbands.
While we're talking about great K-Rock bands coming to town, how about Coldplay doing two nights at the Hollywood Bowl? You win your choice of tickets for May 1st or 2nd right now, and you're qualified to see the band. Destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2012 is Coldplay in Madrid, Spain. This is a little game we like to call...
Cold is in the answer. Don't be a dummy. Cold is in the answer. It's just that easy. Cold is in the answer. It's not AC/DC. Cold is in the answer. You'll see Cold Pleasy.
You're going to be asking questions, Ralph.
Hold on. Time out. Omar wants to come out of the shoot in 2012 with that? That's the first intro of the year for him?
We need to start random drug testing.
Cold, though, is in the answer, right?
To celebrate the Coldplay's shows here and in Madrid, we are doing a game where the answer will have cold right in it.
Okay.
In honor of Coldplay, cold
that sounds,
will be in the answer. Easy. So if you're going to answer the question, you must say the word cold some point.
Now, the reason you're overselling this is because every time we play a game like this, somebody misses that point and ends up giving an answer like AC/DC.
Right. Last time we had Famous Deads, and the answer was Grateful Dead. I asked, what is the band where Jerry Garcia is the front man? They said AC/DC.
No, sweet.
And we really explained that Dead was going to be in the answer. Yeah, really, really answer.
Okay, so cold. This time is in the answer.
Right, if you're going to guess cold something.
Let's start with Ryan, who is in mortgages, who's cleaning up in mortgages right now. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Ryan, here's your question. This retired professional wrestler and current film and television actor was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2009.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's what I'm talking about, Ryan.
See, I had Hulk Hogan.
You would have misunderstood.
Go to the drawing. We forgot to mention Hollywood Bowl is what you get tickets for, and you get into the drawing for Madrid, Spain.
I actually mentioned that, by the way, but I know you don't listen.
Spain is what I'm saying. All right, let's go to Margarita. Hi, Margarita.
Hello.
She works at the post office, Bean.
Oh, Bean.
Hi, Margarita.
Hello, Bean.
Take it easy.
Margarita, here's your question. From roughly 1946 to 1991, this was the political conflict between the communist world and the powers of the Western world.
Okay, so it's not AC/DC.
No, it's not.
Must be the Cold War.
Cold War, yes! Well done.
I like how she worked through that. Let's go to Isabel.
It's like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? She's thinking out loud. I like that.
Final answer? Isabel, hello.
Isabel, this ice cream parlor chain is famous for customized orders for customers at the time of purchase.
Coldstone.
Close enough?
That's two of three.
Can you complete that
Coldstone
answer? More complete
what?
Answer?
Oh, God. Coldstone ice cream? Creamery.
Yeah! Yes! Oh, there we go.
Nicely done.
Now, I had Baskin Robbins for that.
Why? I don't understand.
Let's go to Matt, who's an electrician. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, man?
Matt, this phrase is used to describe losing one's nerve at the last minute, which stops a planned course of action like getting married.
Oh. Cold is in the answer.
If you lose your nerve at the last minute, it keeps you from doing something. What do you have?
Cold feet.
There we go. Well done.
Nicely done. Let's go to...
Everybody so far has gotten the answer.
Yeah. Let's go to Morgan. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, what's up?
Morgan, this phrase refers to an older crime that has not yet been solved, but would be reopened with the presence of new or additional evidence.
Cold case?
Yes, sir!
Wow, everybody's good.
I had without a trace on that one.
I don't know why I'm so...
Let's go to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Hi, Steve.
Steve, here's your question. This is another name for the blister that results from an infection of the lip by the herpes simplex 1 virus.
Cold sore.
Yes, sir. Well
Boy,
done.
Does Beer Mug know that one?
Oh, come on.
Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Jessica, here's your question. This is another name for a variety of sliced cheeses and luncheon meats usually served on a party tray.
Cold cut.
Nicely done.
Well done.
Wow, we're going for 100% here.
Don't
we have one more question.
Sorry,
this is
shocking.
Lisa's
trying to write down names.
Let's this go is the first time I think everybody has been right.
You actually don't have to write them down if it's everyone. We can just look up here.
Right, but she has to do it.
She's got to pick it out of the hat.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah.
Try to come to the meeting.
Sorry.
Ted, hi.
Good morning.
Ted, don't blow it. We need 100% here, okay?
Ted, please blow it. Be the one.
Here's your question. This phrase is used in reference to someone who's been knocked unconscious.
Knocked unconscious?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm going to blow it.
Yes. Don't blow it, man.
Don't blow it, man.
Cold is in the answer, on, if we haven't mentioned that.
Knocked out cold, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we'll take there. Out cold is what we're looking for.
Fantastic. All right. Wow.
Everybody.
I hope he doesn't win, though. Let's be honest. Yeah. That last guy.
He was the weakest of all of them.
Jessica, Steve, Morgan, Matt, Isabel, Margarita, and Ryan, all in the drawing. They're all trying to win tickets for Coldplay at the Hollywood Bowl, and then maybe Madrid, Spain, too. Who's the winner here, Lisa?
The winner is Margarita.
Yeah. Margarita!
Margarita. Congratulations, Margarita.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Thanks for playing the game.
Cold is in the answer. You'll see cold, pleasy. Cold is in the answer.
Going to try something different for you next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're playing a song by the band The Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's happening on our show on K-Rock today. Also got the new one from Foo Fighters called These Days and some Muse. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about New Year's Eve. I'm not one of the people that watches TV, but apparently, I forget what it was, 23, 24 million people watched the Dick Clark Stroke Productions.
That's the granddaddy of all those shows, is that ABC show in Times Square where they have a bunch of acts. They had Lady Gaga, for instance, performing for the crowd in Times Square and whatnot, and they count down to midnight. And apparently, you know, New York has kind of carved out quite a tourist industry with people who go there and want to be in, I think, the worst place on earth when it strikes midnight.
It looks miserable.
It looks miserable.
Because you've had to stand there all day. But so they had some people get up and perform, and one of the people that performed was Justin Bieber.
What's a Bieber?
And he, what is he, 9 now?
He's 17.
Okay. He gets up and he just cliches the crowd right into submission. I mean, he just beats them down with every cliche that's ever been said by an artist on a stage behind a microphone. I mean, it's just the most, and I didn't see it because I don't watch TV on New Year's Eve, but listen to this. This is what we got this from the internet, and this is Justin Bieber trying to be all cool and relate to the crowd.
Justin Bieber and Carlos Santana, take it away.
It's not working, yo.
It's not working, yo. He says yo after everything, by the way. Have you noticed that? He says yo after every single thing. What's that about, yo? What do you think he starts with? What's the first cliche?
Oh, I don't know. How's everybody doing tonight?
New York City!
That's it.
How you guys feeling tonight?
Oh, there it is.
Never been broken.
Wait, all right.
Well, he planned all this out.
Wait, is Justin, is 17-year-old Justin Bieber giving me the history of the tough times for New Yorkers through the years?
Yes,
is that what's happening?
Is.
We all do the best we can each year.
Right.
Learning from our past. Hey. To be better in the future.
Wait a minute. You're not allowed to tell us we all do the best we can. Your job is getting paid millions of dollars and banging Selena Gomez. Okay, you're doing fine. Leave us out of it.
This happened, and what will be, will be.
Okay, so and what will be, will be. That's a weird thing to say, right?
It is.
So what I say is.
And he goes into Let It Be.
Justin Bieber's doing a Beatles song?
Let It Be.
Justin Bieber's covering the Beatles now?
That happened.
All right, let's find out what's going on with the Biebs. You know, we've got a pretty good relationship with him, although that may be ending now after that tape. Justin, what's going on, man? Happy New Year. I'm not hearing anything.
It's not working, yo.
Oh, it is working. Yes, we're here, Justin.
It's working, yo.
Justin, we're here.
What's this all about?
We're right.
It's not working, yo.
No, we're right here. Can you hear us?
Los Angeles!
Yes, Justin.
How you doing this morning?
We're fine. We're good. You don't need any cliches. We just want to talk. We just want to have a conversation.
You know, Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
After all you've been through.
Stop it. We don't see this kind of speech. We don't need to hear from you.
Your spirits have never been broken.
Right. We're just guys in a room talking on the phone.
As horrible as your show is, you refuse to learn from the past.
That's true.
And look to the future.
That is true.
Keep in mind, guys, when you look at your show, what's happened's happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What will be, will be.
Will be, right. So let it be.
Yeah.
Is he trying to start the music?
Yeah. What's this all about?
It's not working, yo. All right. We don't need to hear more of you singing the Beatles. We got plenty of that on the tape for New Year's.
Happens, man.
Okay, Justin.
What will be, will be.
Please don't
learn
sing
from the past.
Don't sing the Beatles.
Future.
Come on.
When I find myself on Kevin and Bean, I wonder what I'm doing here. I should be on Secret. Oh, big boy.
Well, hard to argue.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean, yo?
We're good, yo. Okay, please stop talking, Justin. Please, look, I'm a fan of yours. I'm a believer, but please go away for a while.
Why do you want to say that, yo?
Because
what's that all about?
You're annoying, and you're just using cliches, and you're not old enough.
I'm trying to bring us all together, yo.
But you don't need to sing a Beatles song.
Trying to bring the city together, trying to heal the city.
You're not the guy anyone's going to heal the city, Justin.
Come on, 9/11 just happened, and they've been through so much now.
It didn't just, it happened when you were like 2. It
happened like a week ago or something, yo. Look, I don't read a lot of news in Canada, but I heard
some S went down, yo, in New York.
All right.
There was all kinds of problems.
Okay, we're fine without
crazy,
you, Justin.
Crazy, man, yo. I was in New York City.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, yo, like, there must have been, like, I don't know, like 100 people in Times Square. It was like a big crowd there. Something was going on.
It's over a million. It's over a million, and it's New Year's Eve. It's like that every year, Justin.
Like they're all locked out of their homes or something.
No.
Yo, everybody was shivering in the cold. Now they're just trying to give them something to feel
Justin,
good about.
You don't understand what's happening.
Say, what's that all about, all you people standing in the streets, yo?
They just showed up to watch the ball drop and wish everybody a happy New Year. That's it. Look, we got to go, Justin, but we're just asking you to maybe take 2012 off and leave us alone.
Seacrest loved the balls drop, man.
I bet he did.
He loved it when the balls dropped. Stood there with his mouth open watching.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Who's better than Dave Grohl, by the way?
No one?
No, maybe no one.
Jesus?
Nah, barely. Yeah. Barely. These days, that's Foo Fighters on K-Rock. Funny man Brad Williams joins us after the top of the hour. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Brad Williams.
Why? I got a problem with the man. We're going to throw it down.
But you are?
Yeah.
My money's on you.
We'll handle that after this break when we come back.
Well, confrontation.
Yeah, it's a major falling out.
Wow.
Because Brad and I are friends, you know.
We're friends, I
guess,
huh?
Yeah. I'm
sorry to hear
that. I don't know if we can be anymore. Well, we'll tell you about
See
it later.
See a pebble in your shoe now?
More than that, man.
Okay.
He's a kidney stone in my urethra.
Uh-oh. Sounds bad.
Yeah.
That's way worse.
That is way worse. Breaking news from TMZ.com. B knew about this before anybody, by the way. So F TMZ. That's what he was saying in the other room. F them.
I didn't know.
Harvey Levin, that bitch, he said.
We have a listener in Thailand who emailed us last night to tip us off that this was the big news going down locally, and it checked out, I guess.
I contacted Harvey. I didn't hear back from him. And then today, the news is all over the place.
Just trying to help out
check.
TMZ. No, I don't want anything.
He said he wants a check from TMZ.
Is that what he wants?
Yes.
I just wanted to help them out because they're good to us.
Jeremy Renner apparently was attacked in Phuket, Thailand. That is Phuket, right? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I don't believe so, but okay. I think it's
Phuket?
The only way you can
Phuket?
Say it. Well, maybe it's
Phuket.
Okay.
Anyway, Thailand.
That's not the point. The point is he was attacked.
He was in a bar fight. But in Thailand, you just get into a bar fight. You get a bar fight with a guy with a rotor axe.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
What's a rotor axe? Rotor axe. They got a photo of it here. It looks like one of the axes that the executioners used back in the olden times.
Oh, my God.
One of those semicircle axes that's got a big spear on the end of it.
Why would a guy in a bar have one of those?
It's Thailand,
man.
It's
Thailand.
It's mother effing Thailand.
They saw the Hangover, man. You saw the Hangover, too. They all have them.
Yeah, so he was partying with his buddy, Varasid Isara, who was the general manager of the Siri Panwa Resort, which is a resort, hotel, and casino there in Thailand. They were all partying at 4:30 a.m. By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. A lot of good happens.
It just happened.
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
he's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're
responsible.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that to, right. her, to his statement that
said
nothing good
could ever happen at 4:30 in the morning.
I'd like to,
no, but a lot of good happens.
I'd like to take it back and do it again. Can I?
Sure.
Wrong. A lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning.
Well, it didn't That's happen for Jeremy and his party. They got into a major brawl at a bar. Six men who apparently worked at the bar attacked Jeremy, Varasid, and the others in their party. Varasid was stabbed in the neck.
Wow.
And in the stomach with a knife.
Dude, that's a bar fight.
Jeremy suffered minor injuries because he's too pretty to be hurt.
Yeah. He's the Mission Impossible guy, man. He can handle himself.
The six men who attacked Jeremy's group were arrested. It was a heated argument, and alcohol was involved, they say.
No.
Find that hard to believe.
I'm surprised because a lot of good things happen at 4:30 a.m., Ralph.
No, but a lot of good things happen. We're going to need that tape mug when you get a chance.
Come on.
This is starting out to be a great year. Between Omar's intro and Kevin's new moment with... Happy New Year, everybody.
How dare you.
Speaking of New Year's, Gwyneth Paltrow wants us all to cleanse with her.
Oh,
man.
It's on Goop, Lisa. Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's on Goop.
Lisa looks at the Goop. She follows Goop.
For those of you that don't know what Goop is, it's her website where she's really, really, really obnoxious.
She has expensive ways for you to do things that the rest of us do for free. Like, we don't need help pooping, Gwyneth. We're fine.
Yes. But you go to Goop Poop, and that will teach you how to poop the way Goop does.
Oh, you.
But why does somebody like Gwyneth Paltrow need a cleanse? Doesn't she only
she's
eat, like, macrobiotic
diet.
Food? And
she needs to diet.
She weighs, like, 90
she's
pounds.
Huge.
What's the point of a cleanse for someone
She's
like her?
She's Carney Wilson-esque these days. She's got to be pushing 94, 95 pounds.
I don't get it.
She's kicking off 2012 with her cleansing diet. She's inviting us all to join her. I'm starting off with Clean, my go-to cleanse from Dr. Alejandro Younger, with whom Goop has partnered for the month of January.
Oh. So this is essentially her getting paid $500,000 to tweet the word, right?
If you use Clean, you will lose weight, and you will feel more energetic in the new year, Gwyneth tells us.
She sounds fat.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just to see what it's
this
like.
This month, I'll be doing it along with members of the Goop team.
Oh.
I don't ever want to be on the Goop team, by the way. For so many reasons. It's a 21-day fast. Not a fast, but a cleansing diet. You have a shake for breakfast, a solid meal for lunch, a shake for dinner, and then you have to, of course, take your Clean supplements throughout the day.
Sure.
It's only going to cost you. How much do you think it's cost you to not eat with Gwyneth?
Well, it should cost nothing to not eat.
You would think.
A couple hundred bucks, maybe, for
$425 for the month.
Just for not eating.
Just so you can not eat along with Gwyneth.
Think about it this way, though. Maybe she'll wither away and just go away. Maybe she'll die.
Oh, come on, Contagion. I want that movie to come true so badly.
She weighs 90 pounds before this diet.
She's just an average homegirl, man.
Yeah,
she
right.
is just like us. That's why she wants us to spend $425 to cleanse with her.
She sounds fat.
Shouldn't a doctor step in and say, you are not in good enough health to lose weight and go on a cleanse?
Yeah. Doctor should step in and should be a plastic surgeon and give her some boobs. That's what she should
well,
do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kristen Cavallari is 25 years old today. Actress January Jones celebrates her 34th birthday. Bradley Cooper, speaking of Thailand, he was just there. I saw him.
So he
some
was?
Home movies of him and a monkey. He is 37 years old. Marilyn Manson is 43. I wonder how he's going to celebrate.
Are you a cop?
Is that guy a cop? Vinny Jones celebrates his 47th birthday. Ted Lang of the Love Boat fame. He was Isaac, your bartender on the Lido deck, I believe. 64 years old. Diane Keaton turned 66. Charlie Rose, talk show host, is 70. Did you see Ides of March with George Clooney?
Yes, I did not. I wanted to, but I didn't see it.
Charlie Rose is in that.
Oh, then I'm not going.
Come on, Kevin. He's good.
Boring.
He plays himself, and George Clooney plays a presidential nominee, and they have a very interesting conversation.
Boring.
It's as if you're watching the show. And actor Robert Duvall celebrates his 81st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us on the program later on today, and we'll be talking to ladies, we hope, who found out they were pregnant very late in the pregnancy. We're shocked to find out they were just about to give birth, because there's another one of those stories in the news. First, though, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Our friend Brad Williams joins us in studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, friend. Yeah.
Brad
friend.
Is performing at the Brea Improv tonight at 8 o'clock for only $12. Come on, people.
Wow, that's a deal.
Yeah.
That is a deal.
Holiday prices.
Follow him on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Now, what's the deal, Ralph?
The you comedian and, Brad... and the prices are half off.
You've been friends with
If you
Brad...
want to see a trader, go to the Brea Improv. If you want to see a trader, go there.
Ralph and I are at a little bit of a disagreement.
Why
right
are you
go there.
Hating on our little man? What's going on
what's
here?
What's happening?
Because, first of all, Brad Williams was, at one time, an officer in the Garmy. But apparently
he was an officer.
He was an officer. Oh, yes.
Wow. Yes.
But he is his commission is being rescinded.
Why? I'm out of the Garmy. Well, because of what happened two nights ago at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. I was there. I was doing a show. All of a sudden, in the balcony area, bodyguards come in, looking around. What's up here? They're clearing the area, telling all the civilians get down. And then who walks in? Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber walks in,
wow.
And him and Selena Gomez.
Wow,
on a date,
and they came to see
Factory.
They came to see you.
Yeah,
on stage?
There was a bunch of comedians on that night, and
did they think it was a kids' party or something?
Right, they're showing up like, there's midgets. It's got to be fun. And then what was it? Someone said something to him, like, "Oh, you're what? What are you doing here? You're so rich." And then he actually looked over at me and said, "Hey, you know, I'm really rich, but I don't have a dwarf yet."
So he bought you?
That. Yeah, he bought me. Yeah. I'm now in the payroll. But it's like, really? He's like now Veruca Salt? Like,
wow.
He can walk around and be like,
there's pointed things he wants.
He wants an Oompa Loompa.
I want the dwarf, Daddy. I want it now.
So you know, did he or did he not ask you to sit on his lap?
He did ask me to sit on his lap.
Justin Bieber asked you to sit on his lap.
Hold on. There's only one right answer here. What was it?
He asked me.
Get out.
I said,
you get out.
I said yes. It's a good story.
Get out.
And sat on his lap.
I sat on his lap. I was.
He was this close to Bieber, and I said to him, "And you didn't kill him? You didn't? You were like the guy in the bunker with Hitler, who was right there, who could have ended World War II, and no, you sat on Hitler's lap instead of putting a Mauser to his head. Pop, pop, pop."
You know what? He was really cool, though. He was really nice.
No, he's not.
He was nice. Trust me, I wanted him to say something.
Did he say yo?
Oh, jeez.
You're a dwarf, yo. Did he say that a lot?
Yeah, you're a dwarf, yo.
Listen. That old boot.
This is great, yo.
There's two right things to do. One is what Ralph's suggesting when you're sitting on his lap is take him out.
Double tap. Double tap.
And the other is
SEAL Team 6 style.
When he walks in, you say... Oh, hell no, and throw the mic down and just walk out.
That's right. Well, no, I made a joke about him on stage. I was there and I looked up and I saw him there. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, the hottest lesbian couple in Hollywood.
Hey, now we're talking.
I was making jokes about him, but he was really cool about it. He wanted to take pictures. He's like, yeah, man, let's come and take a picture, yo.
I think we're going to put a picture of Justin and Brad up on the website.
Oh, I like
K-Rock.com.
That.
We're going to post that so you can see his missed opportunity where he could have snuffed out evil.
Were you thinking that he was going to write you a big check or something? He's going to give you a bunch of money because he can?
I was trying to get him just to tweet. Like, just, hey, I'm here with Brad Williams or something. Because I thought that'd be great.
Because
he's got like 16 million followers or something.
But none of them can read. So, that's
true.
That's the point.
Well, that's like investing for the future. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, you'll have fans in 6 years. You know? It's like,
when they're old enough.
Yeah, it's like putting a 401k.
At some point, did you think... By the way, let me go back. Did you not like him before?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I was officer in the Garmy. That's requirement.
That's right. Okay, yeah. So at some point, did you think, wow, this is all this is wrong.
Yeah.
I need to...
He's just really nice dude. I was waiting for him to slip up and
be
say,
a dick and reinforce your image of him, right?
And it just didn't happen. I can make fun of him, but I can't I can't hate on the guy anymore.
Well, you're out.
You're so out.
You're out.
Did you bang Selena at least?
Oh, what was it? No, I didn't. Obviously not. But there was a. That's a tiny woman though. She's tiny. She's like part dwarf. She's had a dwarf in her at some point. Wait, did I say that? I'm sorry.
I mean, she's got some dwarf DNA in her.
Was Justin pulling you close?
When you were sitting on the lap, did you feel anything?
Yeah, something popped up randomly. No, he was working me like one of Jeff Dunham's puppets. Let me tell you.
Wow.
He's like, tell a joke now, yo.
Yo.
Did you get a photo of that to TMZ, by the way? Of you sitting on Justin's lap? They would love that.
I was unable to do that, but we got on my Facebook and on my Twitter, I threw up photos of me and the Biebs, and then we took like a big group shot of him and Selena and everyone.
Wow. Speaking of TMZ, why did I see you on TMZ over the holidays on Sunset Boulevard with your shirt off? What was that about?
Well, Ralph's favorite comedian, Carlos Mencia, was out front of the Hollywood Improv. And
he's saying everything we hate.
I know. I gave him a pass for the Mencia thing because it happened before we became friends, but now he's really pushing his luck.
Well, he was out in Hollywood Improv and he was talking to TMZ, and then I saw that and I came out and we worked together on Mind of Mencia for 4 years, so, and he had just lost a ton of weight. Bean, you can relate. I would say you look good, but
he doesn't.
It's a lie. Sickly. So then we started talking about how much weight he had lost, and I said, "I bet you could wear my shirt." And we kind of had that moment.
You peeled off your shirt and gave it to Carlos Mencia to put on,
and it now fits him. My shirt fit him
that
perfectly.
Is creepy.
Yeah,
you're a whore. He's a whore, isn't he?
He is, yeah. There's a camera. He'll do damn near anything.
Hitler's around. He'd be like, yeah,
what's up?
Love the mustache.
Nice mustache.
Yeah. Come on.
But you fit into my patent leather boots there, Der Fuhrer.
What happened?
I'm sorry.
Before the holidays, everything was good. We all loved you. You loved us. It was all good.
Success, man. Successful Brad's different than failure Brad. That's what happened.
Now I'm just hobnobbing with everyone evil in the world.
Yeah.
Wow. BradWilliamsComedy.com is the website. Brad is on stage at
promoted.
The Brea Improv tonight at 8 if you want to go hang out with him and Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez.
And Carlos Mencia. Everybody will be coming down.
The Hollywood arsonists, they'll all be there.
Edie Almeen.
BreaImprov.com to buy your tickets. More with our guest, Brad Williams, right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is Kevin and Bean and Lisa and the traitor.
The traitor.
I'm never going to live this down, am I?
By that, you mean funny man Brad Williams, who's in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is at the Brea Improv tonight on stage. Only $12 to see Brad. Hilarious comedy at 8 o'clock.
I'm going
to
say don't go.
BreaImprov.com.
I couldn't kill Bieber. He's like only 5 inches taller than me. He's like one of my own.
I'm going to say don't go.
It is funny to see Brad in person, which I don't very often, because he's wearing a regular size watch, but on him, it looks like the clock around Flava Flav's neck, which is just an interesting contrast. By the way, speaking of that, you alluded to something during the Chili Peppers song there about you. I would imagine you would have, you know, certain challenges being sure. your height. But being comfortable on an airplane should certainly not be one of them. It doesn't seem like there's any way you could...
That'd be awesome. You never need first class.
Right? It's just have... I stretch out.
Exactly. That'd be awesome.
It's good. But
what happened? You said there was some problem on a plane with you. What...
Yeah. I was doing a gig in Baltimore recently. And by the way, when I was there, they got 2.5 feet of snow that weekend. And everyone in Baltimore is all happy. It's 2.5 feet of snow. Aren't you excited? It's like I'm... 4 feet tall. No, not excited.
What is that like for you?
Yeah, it's like that's fun for you. You trip, you fall, your knee gets wet. I trip and fall, I die. Like that's scared.
You just look for tire tracks to walk in. Is that how you get
exactly.
around in the snow?
No one needs
finds
something
until spring.
I need one of those soccer like out of bounds flags and duct tape that to my back and start walking around and have it waving. But I had to fly back from Baltimore. There was no direct flights on this particular airline. They said I can't say the name of the airline, so let's just call them Helta.
Okay, good. Good, I like it.
And so they put me on a little puddle jumper to D.C.
But a puddle jumper to you is still big.
Huge! But that's the thing. Puddle jumper, not a plane. Not a plane.
Right.
It's a piece of paper someone hands to a Japanese kid. They origami that into something that resembles a plane. There's no engines on it. It's a paper airplane. They sit you in the middle of it. They just hand it to a black guy. He runs in the runway. Good luck, mofo!
Just throws it?
Yeah, exactly. So we're sitting on there. We're delayed. And then they come with a loudspeaker and they say that the reason why we're delayed is because the plane is actually too heavy to fly. It is unsafe at that weight. To fly.
Nobody should be looking at you. I'm sure there was a fat guy on the plane.
Well, that's the thing, is they said, like, is there anyone who has flexible travel plans? And no one did, and I did. I don't have a wife, kids, girlfriend, I don't care. So I could use the miles. I got off the plane. I was the only one that got off the plane.
Wait, and then it was okay?
And then the plane took off!
What?
How much of a difference could you have made?
I know! It's like, and by the way, if you're not laughing at this joke, you cannot do math, okay?
What do you weigh, if you don't mind my asking?
$25 soaking wet. Like,
what?
And now it was suddenly okay. Like, oh, well, we were too heavy. Good thing this midget got off the plane.
Now we're all good.
Now we're good.
So,
and there was a fat woman on the plane. On the plane, pushing three bills. At least three bills. We all knew she was there because they said, too heavy to fly. Every eye looked at her like, well, we know whose fault this one is.
Sure.
That's unbelievable. They must still be laughing, the people that watched you walk away in shame off of that plane.
I was praying for a plane crash that day.
Would you have loved to just heard everybody when they were walking up and down, if they gave him peanuts or whatever, like, what the midget?
How much could he have weighed?
How much
seriously?
Could he have weighed?
That was
crazy.
You'd think you'd want a midget on your plane because, you know, God's not going to take out a midget on a plane. That's not how he works. I mean, come on.
So,
you're safe at that point.
I wasn't aware. I didn't know you guys were like good luck charms.
Oh, absolutely.
What?
They're fantastic.
Apparently, it's safe to travel with them. I didn't realize that.
Tebow has a midget. That's
Brad is on Twitter at FunnyBrad, website bradwilliamscomedy.com. See him at the Brea Improv tonight. By the way, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this or not, Brad, but you're very popular with the ladies. I understand you have quite the porn star contingent that love you.
All right.
Is it, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to get into stereotypes or anything here, is it a popular fantasy with the ladies? Is it, it'd be so much fun to be with a little person?
It's a story. It's a story they want to tell their friends. I mean,
willing to oblige.
Yeah, I mean, whenever it's talking about their vacations at a party, like, well, I went to Vegas and I did this and I went spelunking or something like that, you get to come with, well, I banged a midget once. You win.
You do
at
win.
That point.
That's a party story.
The room goes quiet.
Exactly. Like, tell me more.
Everybody gets to the floor.
When you're on stage tonight, there'll be a couples, of course, and then there'll be, you know, women that go out just with their friends, and they'll be sitting there kind of like talking to each other going, I don't know, would you? I think I might. Would you? I mean, is that what's going to be happening?
Here's the thing. And if you are one of these women, and if you're like a fetish chick, just tell me.
Just say it right up
front. Warn me. Because, like, don't get me wrong, I'm okay with it, but, like, I had this one girl, I got her back to my condo, and everything was going well, and all of a sudden, she just pushes me off, and she gets this look in her eye, like, ooh, I'm going to paint you blue.
Oh, no.
Blue? I'm not a Smurf. Oh,
no. I'm
going to
paint you blue.
Yeah, exactly. Like, not a Smurf. Get out. That's wrong. But then she got naked. She was hot. La, 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 la.
So let you know off, at the beginning of the evening, let you know if there's anything weird they got in
absolutely
mind, right?
Just okay. Come in.
You're
you know.
Good with it, but just let you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, just right. Say, hey, you know, this is kind of what I'm into. I'm into reaching things for my men.
Just so you know, I might paint you blue. Is that cool?
Might have a thing. Might give you a tray of cookies and say, walk in holding this. That's it. Nothing too bad.
All right. So fun for everybody on stage at the Bray Improv tonight. And ladies, this could be your day to fulfill your fantasy of being with a little person. Brad Williams is up for anything. And if you're in a conveniently geographically located area, it might even be perfect for you.
Yeah, because I literally live. Like, I live in Fullerton, so that's
there
done.
You go.
Yeah,
done.
Okay. All right, BreaImprov.com. Buy your tickets to see Brad on stage tonight. Always great to see you, my friend.
Hey,
thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I'm just saying, makes me uncomfortable.
You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ here on a Thursday. By the way, very excited. Been a long time since we talked to the sports guy, Bill Simmons from ESPN.com and his own Grantland.com. Joins us in about 20 minutes to talk about NBA. He's the guy who wrote that amazing big book of basketball, remember?
Don't get me wrong. They're nice boobs.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable.
That's coming up in the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's what Kevin is talking about, and I need your help on this, peeps. Go to KevinandBean.com right now, okay, or KROQ.com, and you'll see on the front page some videos that a listener sent us of a woman, and I don't think you can see her face in any of these videos, but you can see her body. And her cat is playing with her boobs, okay?
Like making a bed the way that they do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Posting is what they call it. The cat is putting its paws into and pulling its paws out of her boobs, her very impressive cleavage, okay?
Right.
I think that's just a pet owner having fun and playing with her pet, mm-hmm. Like you do, just like you roll your dog on her back and rub her belly. They're hanging out. And there's nothing weird. There's nothing creepy about.
Yeah.
Kevin is walking around yelling bestiality all day long, looking at this video, going, "Oh, it's creepy. Oh, would you let the cat massage your testicles? You know, look, it's not the same."
I know that you love boobs as I do,
right?
And these are spectacular,
right?
But there's an animal playing with them.
Right, but there's nothing sexual for the animal.
Doing, yeah, exactly.
But she knows.
But there's nothing sexual going on here. It happens to be her boobs, but the cat is playing with her boobs in a non-sexual way. That makes it uncreepy.
Is it a female cat?
That doesn't matter,
how
Kevin.
How do you know?
That doesn't. It's not like this is a 16-year-old boy who's playing with
it's
her boobs.
It's creepy.
This is just
it's
a cat.
Little,
it's, wait, there's nothing
on.
Creepy
hold
about
on
it.
Hold on a minute. Let me just clarify. It's not a little. Like, you didn't have a twinge of, well, this is sort of weird because it's an animal playing with, you know, genitals, basically.
Okay, first of all, it's not genitals.
Well, I know,
the chick isn't doing the peanut butter trick to get her cat to play with her, okay?
You don't know that, first of all. You don't know if there's not some
that could
kind
be
of
a different
food.
Video.
Catnip.
I don't
catnip in there. I don't know.
This is a woman, and again, you can see it on the front page of KevinandBean.com. This is a woman in a low-cut dress with enormous boobs, and she, it looks like, is laying on the bed or laying on the couch or something like that, and her little black kitty is playing on her chest, and is just having fun. The cat is just having a good time.
Would you watch this and think it's as cute if it was a guy?
Well, I wouldn't care.
First of
all,
not great boobs. These
yeah,
because
they're not great boobs. Just because I can look at it and go, hey, those are great boobs, I'm enjoying seeing this, doesn't mean there's anything weird or creepy about the woman involved or that the cat has any kind of ulterior motives.
You don't have any. I don't think the cat has ulterior motives, although I think every animal on the planet can appreciate boobs. But you don't think it's like a little weird that, okay, this is my animal that's. That's not a little. Lisa, help me here. A little.
I can't help you with this one.
Not
I mean,
a little?
It's like, well, you know me and my dog.
All right. If you were laying on the bed or laying on the couch,
uh-huh.
and Boner jumped up on your chest and started, I don't know, hanging out on your chest.
If he nestled his little head on my chest,
yeah.
It wouldn't be weird at all.
Wouldn't be weird even in the slightest.
But would you get a video camera, videotape it, and then put it up on, like, there's three different videos on YouTube.
Because they have giant boobs. That's what makes it funny, right?
Right. Yes,
that's not what makes it funny, it's what makes it good.
By the way, if you've seen the video and you have an opinion either on Kevin's side that it's creepy and what's going on my computer right
creepy.
Now, or on my side that it couldn't be more innocent and more just having fun with your pet and your pet having fun with you in a non-sexual way, please call 1-800-520-1067.
I think you're over. I mean,
it's possible.
I think you're over sexualizing the situation that was going on in the room.
It's possible. But I think you're under. I mean, I think you at least have to have a twinge of this is a little weird, don't you? A twinge, just a 1%. No. You could be 99% on board.
I think it's awesome. I appreciate that this video has been shared with me. I'm glad. I'm happy to watch it.
Right, but
I like her.
I like her too,
and I like the cat. I like them both. I like them both
but
together.
But you don't think just there's not a little
creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert
going off in your head? There's
no,
not that.
Not even a little bit.
But just a little bit. I'm saying.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to go a step further, and you're not going to buy this either. If she were nude, I don't think it would be creepy. Because to the animal doesn't get anything out of, oh, my owner is nude and now this is a sexualized situation. The owner is just, I'm playing with my person.
You mean
the cat is just saying, I'm playing with my person. Even if the woman were nude.
If she were laying on the bed naked.
Okay, see? Okay.
Now that gets into a little weirdness.
That's a little weird.
But I don't think the woman is getting any sexual pleasure out of this cat posting on her boobs.
And you're basing that on what?
I'm just basing that on
having
pets and playing with your pets.
Do
and
you
having
let
it
your
not...
pig walk all over your junk?
It would be different if it were junk. I think if this were going on below the waist, I think it would be a different situation. I think that's
I understand
clearly sexualized.
Yes.
I don't think it is up top with her and the cat. Let's talk to Jordan real quick. She's given us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Jordan, thank you for calling. You saw the video, right?
Yeah, I saw the video. I've seen, like, actually a couple, like you guys were saying. There definitely are more than one for some reason.
Right.
But I don't think it's weird because the cat itself doesn't know what boobs are. I mean, it doesn't really think of boobs the way that we humans think of boobs.
How do you know? First of all, how do you know?
Because I am a cat mind reader, obviously.
Oh, wow. Boy, I didn't know she'd have such a great answer to
all
come back with.
All we're going to get is crazy cat people now.
But there's nothing creepy about this video,
do
right?
Do any of your 35...
I think that I could see where you might think that the person is creepy, maybe just for posting the video, because who cares? But yeah, like you said,
it's a little
boobs are pretty great.
It's a little... The boobs are great. Let me ask you this. Do you have over or under 30 cats, Jordan?
I have no cats.
Oh, liar. You're a liar.
I have a dog.
You're a liar.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Ozzy. That's not even the right
button. That's not even close.
There we go. Let's try Ozzy. He's online, too, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. Then we'll talk sports with Bill Simmons on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ozzy, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
So what's going on? What do you think about this?
My question is, I want to know what's so wrong with Kevin.
What?
He's out of the gutter for 5 minutes.
Yeah, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, my mind. Yeah.
You are a filthy, filthy man.
That's true. No, my mind is in the gutter. I mean, when you watch this, they're spectacular boobs. So it's hard for a guy, let me put it this way. It's hard for a guy to look at those boobs and not
think of it in a sexual way.
In a sexual
way. Absolutely. That's why you need to put your mindset on the other creature in the video. Who is not a guy,
but
who is a cat.
But I'm saying there shouldn't be a creature in the video of something that is... It doesn't bother you. I'm not saying it's 100% wrong. I don't know. It's probably fine. I don't
know.
You
believe
cats.
She should be arrested and thrown in jail.
No, not at all. But I do hate cats. That might be part of it.
Ozzy, thank you for the call. Let's take Layla real quick. One more. Layla has something even creepier than the woman with the cat on her boobs.
Even creepier?
Yes. Layla, welcome to the show.
It's not creepy. It's cute and fuzzy.
Okay.
All right. Hello.
What's your personal experience? You have something going on with a pet of yours. You're very deeply in love with what?
Yes, I have a ferret.
Ferret? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's about a 2-pound ferret, mm-hmm. And she likes to crawl in my shirt, get in my cleavage, and lick my boobs.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's getting weird.
There's nothing weird about it.
Now it's getting weird.
Now even Bean says it's getting weird. The licking part.
What's weird is when she tries to move the bra to get to the nipple. But, you know, it's all just love and innocent. But
see what I'm saying? This, she's proving my point.
It's a fine line,
no,
isn't it?
Don't let her get to the nipple.
Layla.
Layla.
Why not? What? Why don't you let her get to the nipple if there's nothing creepy
nothing
or sexual about it?
Nothing creepy or sexual about it.
Because I have sensitive nipples. It's nothing to do with the ferret. I just have sensitive
I'm not
going to
understand this until I see it on YouTube. Have you put it on YouTube or will you?
I have not. My husband would probably kill me.
If you haven't put it on YouTube, then we are denying that it ever happened. Right. But thank you very much for the call.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's about 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Just prepare yourself after the top of the hour, and we're talking to the sports guy, Bill Simmons. He was at the Clippers game last night, as was Dave the King of Mexico. I think we're getting into a Clippers world now. Going to be hearing a lot about the Clippers this season, Kevin. You're all right with that?
Oh, Blake Griffin.
I'm fine with that.
Blake Griffin hit a shot from the other side of the net. He was like on the right side, and he got in the left side of the hop.
I'm not the kind of fan that wants other teams to suck. I want the Clippers to be good, and I want the Lakers to beat them.
To be better.
I'm fine if the Clippers are good. I'm glad. Their fans deserve it.
Okay. That's coming up here on the Kevin Amin Show. Plus, you didn't know you were pregnant. We'll take your calls as well. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Well, I'll let you decide, but I think our troubles are over, people.
Really? All trouble?
Yep.
Over?
Looks like America's problems have been solved.
Great news.
Television evangelist Pat Robertson went on the TV this week. Said he had a little conversation with God.
All right.
Talked to him on Tuesday.
Nice. Hotline to heaven?
Apparently he's got one, and it's all good. He was on television on Tuesday saying that God told him who the next president of the United States will be.
Good. We don't have to have an election. That's great.
I think that's very convenient because we know what a hassle that is, the whole election process.
I think it would be a slap in the face to God if we went ahead and had an election if he's already told us.
Robinson said, he showed me about the next president, but I'm not supposed to talk about that, so I'll leave you in the dark.
Oh, F you.
Well, and he showed me, too.
Yeah, please.
Pat Robertson suddenly now is a carny psychic on the midway.
I'm not supposed to tell
you. Oh, I've got
something.
Oh, no. Someone from the other side is talking to me. I see a G. I see a G, an O, and a D. Do you know a God? Does that sound familiar? They tell me something, but I'm... At this point, I'm not supposed to share it with you.
Please.
Well, what's the point of him having the information then if he doesn't tell us?
So he can say when it comes...
Because God told him not to talk about it yet, Bean.
Okay.
All right? So when the big man gives your orders, you don't start going off all willy-nilly.
It's what the Bible calls an abomination.
He also said God gave him very specific instructions about what's going to happen to America in the next year or so and what to do.
Okay.
God told him, and this is a direct quote from God... Because Pat Robertson said he made notes.
He was writing down.
I would too, by the way, if I had an important conversation with God.
Your country will be torn apart by internal stress. A house divided cannot stand. God added. God now is stealing quotes from Abraham Lincoln. You'd think God would have his own writers.
Maybe Abraham Lincoln stole that from God. How do you know?
Your president holds a radical view of the direction of your country, which is at odds with the majority.
Well, he's a Muslim. Of course he does.
Expect chaos and paralysis. This is a spiritual battle, which can only be won by overwhelming prayer. There must be an urgent call to prayer. So if we just shut down Congress, stop all the laws, stop all these meetings and coalitions and task forces, let's just all pray, people, and then everything will work out.
Ask Rick Perry how well praying that the drought would end in Texas worked out for him, because that was his solution to that problem, was let's just pray.
Look, if you're not praying hard enough is the problem.
That must be it.
We need overwhelming prayer.
Okay. I love so much the guy who says, I have the info, but I can't tell you.
I can't
tell. That's great.
If everyone just prays, we're going to be okay. Man. People send him money, by the way.
I know.
Lots of money. Somebody tweeted, a friend of mine tweeted this week, God told Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann to run for president. God is hilarious.
One's already out. The other is fixing to get out, by the way. So apparently having God's endorsement isn't enough anymore.
Well, we're talking about Christians. Christians for a Moral America. Or KFEM.
I'm not sure that's what they call it.
As they're known. Are planning a boycott against the movie The Hobbit.
Already?
Yeah. It doesn't hit theaters until December 14th, 2012. So we have a year still. But apparently, the Christians for a Moral America say that Jackson is an admitted atheist.
Peter Jackson is making the movie?
Yeah. And he is not injecting enough Christianity and God into the movie for their taste.
Whatever, douche.
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of the... There was some in the original? Is that...
Yeah, remember when Frodo threw that cross into the Mount Doom or whatever? Remember?
No.
Oh, no.
But go ahead.
That either.
Okay.
They call him Satan's little helper in their press release. The Hobbit follows on the Lord of the Rings trilogy, seemingly has brought everyone back to Middle-earth from the dead. Yeah, I don't think they understand this is a prequel. So that's why the characters are reappearing.
Maybe they should get their facts
before
they
should read the book or just Google it before they start sending out their press releases. Yeah.
Maybe if the movie's not coming out till Christmas this year, maybe there wasn't a rush to get this press release out today.
Even though the books had strong Christian undertones, Jackson, being the self-proclaimed atheist he is, obviously doesn't want to present the movie this way, as it was meant by Tolkien. Let's vote with our wallets and send a big message to Hollywood and Jackson. Christians will not tolerate this blatant anti-Christian bigotry and atheist propaganda.
They did a nice job boycotting the three Lord of the Rings movies, all three in the top 10 box office grosses of all time.
Our children's minds are filled with enough poison these days without us parents actively doing the same thing while filling liberals' fat cats' coffers.
I don't think The Hobbit is going to hurt any kids, Ralph.
Liberals' fat cats.
Wow. And I don't think they speak for very many Christians either.
What's wrong with The Hobbit? There's nothing wrong with The Hobbit, right?
Well, he's got hairy feet to start with. Wow. That's a problem. That's true. Shave his feet and make them more attractive, I think. And Brad Williams, by the way, is very upset that Peter Jackson is once again hiring regular size actors to play hobbits. He's like, come on. I'm right here.
What's a brother got to do?
Yeah. Two Snow White movies. He can't get any work. Things are not good for my brother, Brad. And we're out of time. Let me go right to birthdays. When we come back, I'll tell you about Gwyneth Paltrow's cleanse and how you can get your colon clean with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, thank God.
Which is what I've always wanted to do. I like to clean her colon. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure.
You don't even know what you're saying.
I have no idea. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall is 81 years old today. Talk show host Charlie Rose. Maybe the best talk show on television. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you, Kevin.
That's dumb.
Because the other talk shows, they're entertainment shows. They're variety shows. They got music and singing and dancing.
Stuff
and
to watch.
Bears yes. on unicycles Correct. And stuff. But Charlie Rose sits down with a person of interest and has a conversation with them, and you learn things by watching it.
Boring.
Learning things is boring, mm-hmm. Kevin. Yes, we know. 70 years old today. Diane Keaton turned 66. Ted Lange. Lange. Long. From The Love Boat.
It was one of those.
He's 64. I want to cover my bases.
Yeah.
He's 64 years old today. Vinnie Jones, talented British actor, badass. He is 47. Marilyn Manson's 43. Bradley Cooper's 37. January Jones of Mad Men fame is 34. And Kristen Cavallari celebrates her 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 1 hour from right now, your chance to win tickets to see that band right there, Coldplay, at the Hollywood Bowl in May and be qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to see the band in Madrid, which is in Spain, don't you know? That's destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. All the details at K-Rock.com. We got tickets for you at 9 o'clock and then every hour all day long during the workday today here on K-Rock.
So we both follow Bill Simmons' Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we both go to Grantland.com. And we know Jimmy Kimmel, and Bill Simmons is a good friend of Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've had him on the show before.
Where are you going mm-hmm. with this?
It's really hard to get Bill Simmons on the show.
But what a treat it is when he comes through, though, right?
Very difficult. We have to go through a guy in a parking lot, and you have to meet him in the van. And then
there's
he
a
makes
code and a phone booth in the desert.
He makes an X with a chalk mark on a Starbucks.
Well, let's not waste our time when we actually have Bill on the phone complaining about Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Grantland.com, by the way, and I'm not just blowing smoke here, has become not only a bookmarkable website, but a visit-every-day website. You guys are generating so much great content with you and your Sports Guy column and your fine staff of writers over there with Chuck Klosterman and Molly Lambert and everybody. Really, you're doing great work over there, dude.
Ah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's interesting to launch something. I'm sure you fellas had the same experience when you started your show. You launch something, you never know how it's going to end up. It veers in a couple different directions. It's harder than you think. And, you know, I think we're at the 7-month mark, but we feel like we're putting out good stuff every day.
You are. And is it refreshing for you to kind of be your own editor? I mean, you know, I was following your day-to-day coverage of the NBA lockout, and it seemed like if you wanted to sit down and write 10,000 words that day, you could, and there's nobody to put it in a little box.
It's been nice to just write the F-bomb every once in a while. I try not to use it too much, but it's been nice to drop them every
yeah, right.
once in
yeah.
a while.
I also want to mention, I bought, for a couple of people on my list, I bought your Grantland Quarterly, which I think is a great idea because there is so much content that a couple times a year you package it up in a book, something you can put on the shelf, which is a fantastic gift for sports fans or Father's Day or whatever. All right, let's talk about basketball, Bill. You are the world's foremost authority that I know on basketball. You wrote the damn big book of basketball, which I still love so much. Did the you were worried that the NBA misplayed and mishandled, especially, you know, both sides, blew it so badly that they were going to do irreparable damage to the sport the longer they stayed off. Do you feel like the league came back fast enough to avert all that, or do you think the NBA is already damaged by the games we missed?
No, it's funny how it worked out. They came back just in time, and if anything, I think people kind of like the shortened season. And the one thing we learned was that November is kind of a meaningless month for the NBA.
Kind of a waste?
Yeah, because you have the NFL's in full swing. You have college football, like those first 2 weeks in November. Those are usually like the conference championships and that kind of stuff. You have what's college basketball starting. It's just like it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, Thanksgiving holiday, and then people are shopping for Christmas, all that stuff.
Sure.
And having the season start on Christmas in a weird way generate a lot of interest, I think. And now the fact that they're playing more games and there's, 9, 10, 11 games on every night. And the league, from a talent standpoint, is in the best position I think it's been in since the early 90s. It's just every team has somebody interesting on it.
Now, Bill, I read your article where you said that you were fed up with the NBA, and if they don't start, you're going to get season tickets to the Kings.
I did. I got season tickets
to the Kings. And do you still have them, and are you still going?
Yeah, and it's a very different experience going to a hockey game versus a basketball game. In hockey, you can just yell at the other team. You can yell horrible things to them, and it's totally fine.
It's great. It's the best.
They're the worst things ever. Like this one, the goalie on Anaheim had missed like half the season last year, the year before, because of vertigo.
Right.
And my section started a vertigo chant.
Yeah, there's nothing.
This is horrible.
There's nothing off limits.
In basketball, it's a little more diplomatic. It's more quiet. I think people are more there just for kind of the spectacle of
sure.
it, and they are hoping to see a dunk. And in hockey, it's a crowd lot more life or death.
It's a crowd participation sport. Too.
It is.
In hockey.
Yeah.
You were at the Clippers game again last night.
I was.
What's it like this year? Long-suffering Clipper fans like you, and there are a bunch of them, have been waiting for a year like this. Are they getting their hopes up, or is this for reals?
No, this is definitely for real. It's been really interesting to watch the dynamic. It was so funny, though. Like, their home opener is Friday night against the Bulls, and you can make a case this is the biggest regular season game in the history of the franchise.
Agreed.
The Blake Griffin and Chris Paul on the same team. They're playing the Bulls, who are one of the top four teams in the league. It's a Friday night. Everybody's so excited to see these guys. And, they have two of the best 12 guys in the league now. They're a legit team. There's no way they can screw this up. So, they introduce the Bulls. The place goes dark. There's like a real buzz. Everybody's really excited for, to see whatever Jumbotron video they come up with. And then the starters are going to be introduced. And it goes dark, and the video starts, and it starts skipping, and there's no sound.
Oh, no!
And that happens for a good 30 seconds of just no sound skipping. Then that stops, and it's just black. And now everybody's like, what's going on? Finally, the video starts, and now all the momentum's been lost. And then it gets worse. They decide that all the players are going to run out of the runways. One at a time.
Right.
They introduce them. The first three guys they introduce are injured. They're in street clothes, so they're walking. And each guy takes like 75 seconds. Suicidal.
They speed up a bit. We're looking for the momentum here.
So then they get to the starting lineup. Chauncey Billups not playing that night. He's in street clothes. They introduce Mo Williams comes right out there, like, number 25 from Alabama, Chauncey Billups. Mo Williams is like, what's going on? And the announcer is like, I meant Mo Williams.
Oh, so sad.
Everybody's just looking at each other like, same old Clippers. It's just never going to – they could have an all-star team of Dream Team Olympians, and it's still the same team. It's just going to be the same team.
That sounds funny, and it is funny. But they are going to make the playoffs this year, no question, right? I mean, everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, and the thing you forget is they have new guys in the team, and it's really hard because you don't have a lot of practices because of the shortened schedule. But they actually got a good schedule break. I think they only played 2 games in 7 days. And yesterday was the first time it kind of looked like they actually knew each other and they knew where each guy was going to go and things like that. But I will warn you, they do not have a good coach.
Yeah.
They have this coach that they hired from – he had been fired by Chicago, and Chicago was still paying him for the last year. So Donald Sterling, who's the cheapest guy on the planet, he figured out that it would be cheaper to hire this guy because he's still getting paid by the other team.
Okay.
So it's like a discount coach.
So it cost him a lot less.
Yeah, but now they have this team that's like a title contender, and they have the discount coach coaching, and it's kind of the elephant in the room.
Yeah, that is tough. Speaking of coaches, I've heard, you know, a lot of people have been talking about the Lakers, of course, and maybe too much is made of the first week of the season, but people are like, wow, Kobe's really going to have his hands full. We're really going to miss Lamar. I haven't heard a lot of analysis about the differences this year without Phil Jackson. What do you make of the Lakers' new coach?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many storylines going on with the Lakers. I think that one kind of got lost in the shuffle. I went to a preseason game with them, and he was coaching on the sidelines like it was the seventh game of the finals. And I don't know. I think he's a little too intense. I think Kobe's at the stage of his career where he's kind of like, cool it, buddy. This is, I played 1,300 games here.
Right.
They're not good. They're not a good team.
Yeah.
The Laker fans kind of know it.
Yeah.
They have three good guys. And then they have nine guys who are just not good basketball players, and that's their team. Josh McRoberts is probably their fourth best player, and he is somebody that on a good team, like if you put him on Oklahoma City or Chicago, I think he's like their 10th man.
He doesn't
he
play.
Might play 10 minutes.
Right.
So, and then you have the Kobe problem, where Kobe's just going to do his thing. He's not going to sit out. You have the 66 games, 120 days, and he's somebody that, you know, he's old, his knees are old, he's played all these games, and you really have to kind of coddle him during the season to make sure he's got something left for the playoffs, but he's not wired like that. He wants to play 40 minutes a night and get his 25 points.
Right.
So I think he's going to get run into the ground a little bit. The one good thing for them is Bynum has been a monster.
Yeah.
And
as long as he's not behind the wheel of a car.
He's a monster behind the wheel of a car as well.
Well, I think that Dwight Howard trade, if he keeps playing like this, that Dwight Howard trade is going to be a slam dunk because Orlando has to get rid of him because Dwight Howard's leaving.
I agree. So the better he plays, the more chance that it's going to be that Dwight Howard comes to the Lakers.
Yeah, see, if I was Bynum and I wanted to stay with the Lakers, I would go the opposite way.
Start playing crappy.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know, I can't. I shoot like 20% on the free throw line and do the whole thing, try to tank it.
Well, you're absolutely right. There are so many fascinating storylines, particularly with the two L.A. basketball teams right now, and you're doing a great job of covering it at Grantland.com, and you're still writing for ESPN, too. They still put your stuff up on ESPN.com as well,
every
once
in a while.
Every once in a while, right.
The Laker-Clipper thing's really interesting, though, because I've lived here for 9 years now, and obviously the Lakers have 100 times more fans than the Clippers,
right.
But this is a very bandwagon-y city. You have a lot of transplants. You have a lot of people that are casual sports fans. And there's that Hollywood mentality of you kind of go where the good event is.
Right.
Right.
And the bottom line is it's more fun to go to Clipper games than Laker games this season. They're a more fun team to watch. The Lakers
so
are just,
far.
The Lakers have no point guard. They're slow. They get no fast break points at all.
All of that's true.
You take turns.
This is hurting, Kevin, to agree.
All of that is true.
Well, it's like, hey, Kobe's going to post up this play, and then Bynum, you post up next play, and then it's boring to watch guys post up for four quarters. Meanwhile, I went to a game last night. The Clippers, I think, had like 15 dunks.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be really interesting to see if when like April rolls around, we won't see as many of those Laker flags.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm kind of fascinated.
The one thing that I did hear over the holiday that I thought was very funny and very true was that there was a Beat LA chant, and it was at a Clipper game, and the announcer said that's probably the first time this chant has ever happened at a Clippers game before.
Yep. Yeah, it was at the Golden State Warriors game on
right.
Christmas Day in Golden State. I've been here. I'm trying to think what I've seen. Like Manny, when the Dodgers got Manny, all of a sudden all these Dodger fans came out of the woodwork
that
I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
There was that 2-year stretch after Shaq got traded when the Lakers just were not good. Actually, it was 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, never saw Laker flags. People not really talking about basketball that much. Then that came flying back. I was here when Liner and Bush, USC, when that team was good. All of a sudden there's USC hats and... So it'll be interesting
That's how it
to
works.
See if the Clippers are bandwagoning.
Well, listen, we're out of time, Bill. It's always fascinating to talk basketball with you. Again, Bill Simmons is the author of the big book of basketball, the NBA, according to the Sports Guy. Well worth picking up. Check him out at Grantland.com as well. And, of course, he does a podcast with our friend Cousin Sal. He's got a lot going on over there at Grantland.
Yeah.
And it's great to finally catch up with you. I hope we don't wait so long until next time we get you on, dude.
No, it's a bad job by me. I promise I'll be on sooner than later.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it, right, Bill. Thanks. Shout it
out! ROQ, what just happened there today?
That was weird.
Just fade in?
Yeah, you were gone.
That's weird. That was not me, everyone. That was actually not a mistake that I made.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Dr. Drew joins us coming up here on the program. I don't know anything about anything, and I think we all know that. We all agree with that. I'm clueless when it comes to many things. But how do you go into labor, ladies, and not know that you're pregnant? How does that happen? Aren't there some things that happen to your body? I don't know, like you start growing a baby in your belly?
Is that?
That would be a tip that you are with child?
It's got to be a lot of other changes as well.
I'm so puzzled by this. But I've never been pregnant. But I think it's different for every woman. And for some women, they know immediately that they're pregnant. Other women don't have symptoms.
There's the TLC show. I didn't know I was pregnant. And everybody is fascinated by that. And you watch it and you think the same thing every single time, which is, how is it possible you don't know?
I don't want to get into any body fluid details here. But
yes,
doesn't that happen?
Well,
some people it doesn't.
Some people are off spotty that way anyway.
Okay. Hey. Well, here's the story. This is why we bring it up. Girls are icky, right, Dave?
Yep.
Here's why we're bringing this up. A woman in Kentucky unexpectedly gave birth to a full-term baby boy in her bathroom on December 30th. She had no clue she was carrying the child. Leanne Mowry said she had taken several pregnancy tests, but they had all come back negative. What's that about?
I don't know, but don't you worry. If you're 9 months pregnant, don't you worry about other things that are going on, including the size of your stomach? Don't you go to a doctor?
Like, don't I have a tumor or what's happening, right? Here's my favorite part of the story. Mowry had often watched TLC's I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant and was critical of the idea that it was even possible for a woman to not know that she was pregnant. So she was one of the women who was making fun of other people for being in this situation. And then it happened to her. What are the chances? Apparently, it is very common. Last year, an Oregon mother reported to the hospital after she thought her appendix had burst. And then she found out that she was in labor. She thought the doctors were joking. That's how she found out. I mean, imagine what that would do to your head to find out I am about to give birth to a baby that I have in no way prepared for or even thought about.
Oh.
Now, we want to take some calls from you if this has happened in your family, preferably if it's happened to you. But if it's happened to your wife, girlfriend, or someone you know, someone in your family, call us. Tell us about this. What is this like at 1-800-520-1067.
Just before Dave tells a story about you being in the hospital and seeing one of these people, there was a study done, and it says 1 in 475 pregnant women are unaware that they're pregnant until halfway through.
That's a huge amount.
1 in 475.
That's a lot of. So Dave is in here in studio because a few years ago, when I had a tube in my eye, I don't remember why.
Long story, don't ask.
But it popped out, and the guys were freaked out by it because I had this piece of plastic coming out of my eye. And they said, you've got to go to the emergency room. You have to do something. Actually, all you really have to do is just leave the room so we don't have to look at it.
Right.
So Dave drove me to a nearby emergency room. And what happened, Dave, while we were in there that day that relates to this?
Well, we were talking, and we hear this family arguing, and this girl's in pain. And she says, I guess they told her that she's having a baby. And she goes, Mom, I didn't know. I didn't know. And she was pregnant, and she was there about to give birth.
She was about to give birth and said
she really didn't know. She was about 17.
And the mom was screaming at her, like, how can you keep this from me?
Yeah, how can you keep this from us?
Okay, when you saw her, what did she look like? Did she look like a pregnant person?
Not at all. She looked like this little thin girl with a little...
Thin? Because I was going to ask about weight, too.
Yeah, it looked like she had, like, a little fupa, but, you know, other than that...
Wow.
It was just like a little belly, like, you know...
Now, that's interesting. Kevin brings up a good point, because my thought, and I don't watch this TLC show, is that a lot of women would notice if they started gaining that much weight, if they were pregnant. But if you were 300 pounds or something like that, maybe you just chalk it up to, I'm just getting a little bit fatter. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. So we saw that check in person.
Yeah.
Did you pull the curtain and go, are you kidding me?
This was in the waiting room.
Oh, man.
All right. Christina, you hang on. We are going to get to you first. Please don't go away. We're looking for your calls, too. If this has happened to you or someone you know, what is this like? You didn't know you were pregnant. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin.
The Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 842.
Read the Black Keys cover story in the new Rolling Stone magazine, either at the newsstand or online, where they talk about how the world has ended now. Rock and roll is dead if we're going to accept Nickelback as being popular.
And Nickelback sells way more than the Black Keys
do. They sure do. It's very, very funny. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew in minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Let's go to Christina first. What we're talking about is this latest story of a woman in Kentucky who went into labor, had no idea she was pregnant. How does that happen? Christina, this happened to your best friend?
Yes, it did. Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, I think part of what we're fascinated with is months 7, 8, and 9. Seems like things would be getting extreme And then leading up to having the baby, you know, the moment of having the baby, she didn't know a week before?
No, she was young. She was 18. So some of it might have been a little bit of denial. Like Lisa was talking about, she was never really regular with her cycle.
Right.
So when it kind of came here and there, she didn't think anything of it. She was really tiny, like a size 0, size 1, wow. Really good shape. They think her abdominal muscles were strong enough that it kind of held everything in.
Wow.
At the very end, she was getting this tiny little pooch, like way down low, hardly anything noticeable. And one morning, she thought she was just having a really bad backache and the lower back pain and kind of cramping in her back. So she thought maybe she was going to get her period. She got in the bathtub with hot water, and all of a sudden, she had her baby in the bathtub.
Oh, my God.
can you imagine, like, one second
the
you think...
The easiest pregnancy and birth ever.
But one second you think, backache. Man, my back hurts. Next second, you have a brand new baby, and like...
Yeah, you're in total shock.
Did she call 911?
Yeah, she did.
And when did you talk to her? Did you talk to her that day?
Her brother called me that evening to tell me, hey, you know, Shelly is in the hospital. She just had a baby. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
And you had spent tons of time with her like you did and had no inclination whatsoever. There wasn't any tip for you at all that she was pregnant.
No.
That's amazing.
They estimated the baby was probably about 4 weeks early.
Right.
But he was still a decent size, kind of normal baby, no health problems, nothing, and she had no idea.
That's amazing. With no prenatal care, by the way. Did she end up keeping the baby?
Yeah, she did, and he's 21 years old now.
The baby came out with a six-pack, too.
Unbelievable.
Mama's in shape.
That is amazing. Christina, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
No problem.
1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Ethan. Ethan is an EMT, and I guess you would see this from time to time. You'd be the go-to. Ethan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin Reed. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I went to a call, and it was a middle-aged woman. She was complaining of, like, gas pains. So we arrived on scene. She's on the couch.
Wait, can I just back up? Can I just ask a question, Ethan?
Go ahead.
How many people call you because of gas pain?
Seriously, I am farting up a storm. You've got to come out here and help me.
I don't think I would call anyone. I think I would just sequester myself.
Yeah, we get a lot of.
Okay.
We get a lot of. Crazy call. So this one's insane. This is like top five. Okay. So yeah, she's about 350 pounds. She's sitting on the couch complaining of gas pains. And we asked her, you know, what does she want to do? She's like, I want to go to the hospital, get checked out. I'm like, okay, let's go. Anyway, she gets up and a baby slides down her pants leg.
What?
No idea.
You mean there wasn't pregnant. Like any kind of labor that happened where she had to push? It just fell out of her?
No, it just fell out of her, man.
Oh,
and what
God.
Did she say?
Oops.
Well, she had no idea she was pregnant at all. She's like, you know, I felt some sharp pains, and I was a little, you know, shortness of breath. I'm like, okay, well.
Did you say anything like, well, I'll tell you this, but a baby just slid out.
She had no idea. Her husband was like this tiny old guy, and he had no idea.
Her husband had sex with a 350-pound woman. He's not allowed to complain about anything.
Yeah,
oh, my God. So now all of a sudden you're delivering a child. Now you're cutting an umbilical cord.
Exactly. I was shocked.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it. All right. I know we don't have time for this, but let's talk to Maisha online, too, because it also happened to her.
Maisha?
Yes, hi.
Girlfriend, what's going on?
Okay, so I had, like, kidney disease for 5 years. I was in dialysis and everything, so my body was completely out of whack. And one night, my sister came home. She worked late, and I was just, like, in excruciating pain. I told her, something's going on with my kidney. I'm bleeding. Everything's going on. So we call my nephrologist. We call Cedars. We call everybody. Everybody's frantically waiting. We get to the ER over at Cedars, and they're setting up dialysis and everything for me. All the surgeons are there. And as the nurse is helping me out of my father's car, and I turn my legs, I stand up, and the baby pops out.
There it is.
Oh, that's so bizarre.
At least it makes some sense in your case because you had all these health problems in the same area, which would explain the pain. At least that makes sense.
Tina, exactly. Tina's an OBGYN who called. I'm sorry, Tina, we don't have time for your call, but she says a lot of these girls are just in denial. They just can't admit that they are pregnant.
Maisha, did it ever occur to you during the course of that 9 months that you might be pregnant?
You know what? No. You know, my sister, no one believes me when I say that I didn't know. My sister thinks I'm a lunatic, but...
You could be a lunatic, by the way, on a side note, for other reasons.
I mean, you knew that you had had sex and that it was a possibility that you could get pregnant, but you never saw any changes in your body to suggest that a baby had taken hold.
No, because I was going to dialysis. My weight was, it didn't have any kind of signs of a belly. I was dropping weight. I didn't think of anything.
Well, the other thing, besides the shock of, hey, I have a baby, is you've made no planning mentally or physically to prepare for this baby. You have no place to put this baby, right? You don't have a room set up. You don't have a system in place to take care of a child. You got nothing.
Nothing. She was 1 pound, and
oh my God.
It was definitely an ordeal. You know, in retrospect, maybe I could have looked for some signs, but honestly, I just didn't know.
Did the doctor say,
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
How's she doing today? How's your little girl?
Oh, she's fine. She's 5, and
awesome.
She's great.
Great story, Maisha. You'll always have the winner story at a party. Thank you so much for calling the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. A lot of good happens.
It just happened.
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
he's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're responding.
You said nothing
you
good.
Said that right. to his statement that nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well, you put it like that.
Magic. I may not have been paying attention.
We got an early leader for the best moment with in 2012 already.
Wow.
All right. Dr. Drew joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin DeBeach Show.
How about turning this up over here? There we go, buddy. Lisa's mic wasn't up. The sound effects aren't up.
What are you doing over there? What are you doing over there?
Everything screwed up in
Beans. Oh, it's Beans' fault.
It's true because all of the pots are different.
Oh, I see.
It is.
Okay, well, label them or something.
Have
Fidel Castro behind you there help you out. Have him give you an idea of what's going on.
We're going to play our new game with Beer Mug. Homeless or Cuban?
If you had a cigar, one of those little khaki hats, you would definitely look like Fidel Castro. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Guilty.
Not charged with anything.
Should be.
She should be. She has announced she wants us all to cleanse with her. I don't know if you subscribe to the Goop newsletter that she puts out for her website.
Of course I do.
Goop.
I do not.
This is the website where Gwyneth tries to talk to the common woman as if she's one of them and give them all the tips for how they should live their lives.
That isn't good for you.
I'm starting off with clean, my go-to cleanse from Dr. Alejandro Younger, she says.
Sponsor.
With whom Goop has partnered for the month of January.
I just pooped.
I've used clean in the past with great results, losing a few pounds and kickstarting a healthier and more energetic new year. Clean, by the way, sounds like a street drug in a science fiction movie. Like something that's set in like the not-too-distant future. It's like, yeah, man, they're serving clean out there on the streets. I got to go out there and find those clean dealers.
Why does Gwyneth Paltrow need to cleanse?
Well, look at her. She's just a pig.
She weighs like 85 pounds.
Oh, that's right.
And she only eats all organic, natural food.
She just grazes on grass.
Yeah, it's not like she's got a stomach full of chemicals she needs to detox from.
This month, I'll be doing it along with the members of the Goop team, and we hope you will, too. And it goes without saying, be sure you check with your doctor before getting started. Here's what it is. For 21 days, you have a shake for breakfast, a solid meal for lunch from a list of recommended foods, a shake for dinner, and then you take your clean supplements throughout the day. Getting healthy will only cost you $425, by the way, for a month.
Can we make Beer Mug do it?
Wow.
Yeah, let's make Beer Mug cleanse.
I'm down.
I'm sure it's fine. Sure, if we paid for it, Fidel will take
Fidel
all the supplements.
Way more than she does.
Yeah, I'm afraid what will happen if we try to cleanse Beer Mug. I don't know what will come out of him if we try to cleanse him. Just going to be a big mushroom cloud behind him. Just toxic. Land spill. Just a
horrible.
I just pooped.
Jeremy Renner got beat up in Thailand. Well, who hasn't, really?
I haven't, but only because I haven't been. Don't you get the idea that you would if you went?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Eventually, I would get... I did spend one night in Bangkok, though.
You did?
Oh, nice!
And is that right?
It makes a hard man humble, I'll tell you. Nice! I know that much.
First take that back.
Oh, come on!
Let's file it.
I think that was... That
I
was...
know you do. That's why I should go in the file.
Okay.
Listen, I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine, okay? I'm not like you, Kevin.
Now I'm with you.
File it.
Jeremy was in Phuket, Thailand.
You get out of delay on that?
Did not.
Phuket is a word.
That's how you say it.
Phuket, Thailand.
It's not how you really say it. But
he was in a, yeah, I think it is. I think it is Phuket.
Oh, I should.
That's not how you say it, no. But there's a great many words that aren't like you say them.
Most.
He was drinking early in the morning, 4:30 a.m., and he got in a brawl with about six other guys who apparently worked at a bar. Him and his buddies, including this gentleman named Varasit Asara, who was the general manager of the casino resort where he was staying. They were all out 4:30 in the morning drinking, partying. There was an argument. A melee ensued, and this friend of his, Varasit Asara, got
a Mike Tyson tattoo on his face?
No, he got stabbed in the neck with a rotor axe. A rotor axe is one of those semi-circle axes like you see them carrying around in Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's a serious piece of armament.
That's the wrong bar to be in.
Yeah, that's a hardcore bar fight
right there. There's somebody carrying that.
He was also stabbed in the stomach with a knife.
Dude.
Jeremy had minor injuries. I don't know how he got off so easy, but this other dude was...
Because he's the Mission Impossible guy, man. He can take care of himself.
Yeah. You know what happens? He ran.
He's faster than the other guy. That's how it works.
Come on, fatty, keep up.
I heard that nothing but bad things happen at 4:30 in the morning. Is that true, Kevin?
No. Nothing good happens at 4:30 a.m.
Oh, I see.
Oh, but plenty of good things,
and
too.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Decipher this.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has.
It's not, I mean, a lot of good happens.
What just happened?
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
he's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're restricted.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that to, right. her, to his statement that nothing good.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Wow.
No point in that at all.
No. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall is 81 years old today. Charlie Rose, who I envy at this moment, he is 70 years old. Diane Keaton, 66. Ted Lang. Or Lange, or...
Doesn't matter.
The Love Boat bartender, 64 years old. Vinnie Jones is 47. Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah.
Is 43.
Do we have time for the Marilyn Manson story real quick?
I don't think we do.
I think we do.
All right.
We were doing
why did you ask?
We were doing a breakfast with Marilyn Manson, which we were doing at midnight. And
see, because he's so spooky. He's like, it's the witching hour, man.
So we had all the listeners there, and they were behind the curtain there at the... Roxy, was it?
Yeah, it was one of those small clubs those, on the strip.
Viper Room, yeah. And, Viper Room, right. And Ralph came walking in, and he had a handful of powder.
He's about there with Iggy, and who's the other guys in his band? Not Iggy, was it?
Yeah, Ziggy. I know who you're talking about.
Ziggy, not Ziggy.
Yeah, Ziggy Marley, good.
Twiggy,
yeah, yeah. They're all hanging, the whole band's back
there. Handful of white powder. Ralph walks back, and Marilyn Manson goes, is that a cop?
Is that guy a cop? Do I need to put this away? It was probably talcum powder or something. I don't know what.
Sure
I don't know what. He
sure
had it spread out on the table there. But they took one look at me, and they had this panic.
Instantly!
He had this panic look in his one non-contact eye.
Maybe he'd seen your work on NYPD Blue.
That's what I'm thinking. That he probably flashed on Officer Groot, yeah. And just, it was association.
That was awesome.
I bet. Bradley Cooper's 37 years old today. January Jones from Mad Men and the X-Men movie is 34. She's not a good actress, by the way.
No, she's not.
The more I watch her in other things, the more I realize she is so perfectly cast in Mad Men that she really can't play any other role.
No, her Saturday Night Live is one of the worst episodes of Saturday Night Live in the history of the 35 years that show's been on the air.
That's pretty tough.
Did you see that Liam Neeson movie?
I just saw it the other day, Unknown.
It's on cable or something. Yeah. Unknown, that's what it's called.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Awful in it. Yeah. Really bad.
Yeah.
And Kristen Cavallari is 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
I was very surprised, by the way, on New Year's Eve when Ryan Seacrest has a show and Carson Daly has a show and then they got their show overnight. I thought, where's Dr. Drew's show? Why doesn't he have a New Year's Eve show? He's missing an opportunity to be on television. I could not find him one time on any channel on New Year's Eve. What's that about?
They didn't rerun something on HLN?
Nowhere.
Huh.
Dr. Drew, what happened, dude? You didn't take a night off, I hope.
I'm Bean. You might be surprised I took a night off.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy New Year, my friend.
Saw your family?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But then reintroduced to his family.
Wow.
Well, Dr. Drew, it's great.
Welcome.
It's great to talk to you. We have, as always, many things we want to ask you about. First of all, your friend, your little friend from Loveline, Psycho Mike, was in here yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And all he cares about is an upcoming guest on the Life Changer show, the man with 150-pound testicles. Tell me about that.
Well, we actually lost him. We were going to have
what?
Him on the show. Yeah, I'm afraid he's not going to come on. As far as I know, he's not coming on anyway. They were tracking him. And
how hard is it to track him?
Actually, I think he has other suitors, as it were.
Oh, okay.
You know you lost him to another show.
I think so. I'm sorry. But the biggest thing that seemed to get Mike's attention was the actual name of the condition that he has is elephantiasis.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And somehow, I think maybe it was you guys, too, thought it was elephantitis and all.
I have heard people mispronounce that my whole life.
I've mispronounced it my whole life. So,
yeah, so there you go. And so it's these little worms, these little filarial worms that get clogged in the lymphatics, and the lymph, therefore, collects in the distal part of that body, whether it's a leg or a testicle, and thus you have the 150-pound wheelbarrow kneading gentleman.
You know, I've heard the expression, he has balls that, you know, you need a wheelbarrow to carry him around with. That's how much balls this guy has. This guy literally has it.
That's how it happens.
I remember when Bean was wearing that T-shirt. You remember that T-shirt that had elephantiasis or whatever?
Yes, yes.
And then there were a couple of school kids came in to take a tour.
You guys have a head of steam this morning. Your vacation did you some good.
I swear to God, it was so funny. I was like, cover up your shirt. There's kids out there.
Now, one of the things that you do on Life Changers that I like, I mean, it's occasionally a very silly show, Drew, as you know, but there are times where you really literally do change people's lives. And is the most of the time. I agree.
Most of the time.
Thank you.
That's right. Because we really, you know, it's a show that had to find its way. And I think we are almost always now doing things that are really, I think, life changing.
I agree. And the reason you would have that guy on is not because it's a freak show to laugh at him, is because that's the kind of guy you have on. And then you offer him some hope that he can get his condition correct. Corrected,
that's right.
Right?
We would go do something with that to try to help them. Yeah.
We had a lady who wrote to us yesterday. She wrote to Lisa May, actually, mm-hmm. and said she has lost a ton of weight, like hundreds of pounds, and has all that skin left over.
Yeah.
And I told Lisa, that's exactly the type of person you ought to send Dr. Drew's way. Maybe there's somebody who would help surgically help her on Life Changers.
You know, I would be delighted to take that. I can't reveal too much about that particular topic, it turns out. But, Bean, boy, you have a good sensibility about our show. So, yes, please email that to me, and that is something that's precisely the kind of thing that we do on the show. I mean, literally, precisely.
Okay, good.
You just said, Bean, you have a good sensibility. Those words came out of your mouth.
All right, well, another thing, Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, from Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, and the Dr. Drew Life Changers on the CW, weekday afternoons at 3 and 3:30, and then, of course, on HLN at 6. You were on another TV show this week, I think, on CBS?
I get that a lot.
Last night.
I get that a lot is what the name of the show is. Tell us about this. We have a clip.
I didn't actually see it. It was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever done. They basically put you out in the real world in some place where no one expects to see you. In this case, I was Howard, a sort of optometrist at a lens crafter.
Sweet.
I was an optometrist. I was a salesman. And basically bum-rushed people trying to sell them eyeglasses. And it was very uncomfortable. They put an IFB in your ear, and they've got a very aggressive sort of producer in there going, say that, you got to do it.
Love it.
Like, oh, God, it's so uncomfortable.
But, I mean, don't you get recognized enough in your real life that in your time where you don't have to be working, why would you want to go on a TV show where people are recognizing you?
I thought it was really funny.
Oh, Bean, you saw it?
I saw it.
We have the clip. We have the clip of it.
I have a clip to play.
But I'm trying to figure out why you would want to do it, Dr. Drew.
I'm not sure I fully understood what I was getting into.
They just said Dr. Drew TV, and you said yes?
How dare you?
Here's the clip.
Can I help with anything?
You look like you did a commercial before for them.
Great. For lens crafters? I get stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
I think it helps with sales. That's why they gave me this job, probably.
Nothing.
You know what I typically get is that TV doctor guy.
Dr. Drew, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of all the people that have to look like, he's pompous and he thinks he knows everything.
Yes.
Right?
These
TV guys think they like own the world. Exactly. They can do whatever they want. They get away with stuff.
They want to do what they want to do.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
She was quick to agree with that, Dr. Drew. Were they saying in your ear, say you're pompous.
There's stuff like that. They're just, you know, like, I felt like a marionette or something.
What a wacky life you have. All right, don't miss Dr. Drew on the Life Changers this afternoon.
Oh, one thing. By the HLN also tonight, the HLN world is all a Twitter because a Casey Anthony video has surfaced.
Oh, is this her with her new dog?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
God, they are so excited about
that. Are you kidding me? This is late-breaking news. Is she going to kill that, too? Is that the question you're going to be debating?
I guess that's it. I think the question is going to be, what, you know, here she comes. You know, the one thing that you can predict about people that misbehave is that they'll live to do it again.
Oh, no.
Here it comes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, Dr. Drew, man, Happy New Year to you. Thanks a lot for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:34.
A little less hot sauce, maybe a little more in the studio with a new Offspring record, maybe. Just a thought. It's been a while.
Can't they do both? Can we get hot sauce and a new record?
Apparently not. Apparently there's a lot of hot sauce, no new Offspring record.
Look at you. Just look at you.
What now?
You look
what
like
now?
You stepped out of a cartoon. You look like a cartoon character come to life.
What are you making
your
fun of?
Giant
now?
Round just cartoon everything. Glasses and
oh,
your giant
talking
Beantown
about that
T-shirt. You look like something that was drawn.
He does.
You don't look real.
This Beantown T-shirt was a Christmas gift from your friend Jimmy Kimmel. I thought it was a very thoughtful gift, and I enjoy wearing it.
But
it says Beantown.
It doesn't mean you don't look like a cartoon.
It says Beantown.
But you look like a character from a cartoon show called Beantown.
That's true.
Okay. All right.
Part of it is the glasses. He won't give up the glasses.
How about he's animated?
How about less making fun of me and more talking about the showbiz be here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
No, I'm gonna do more make fun of you, less showbiz, I think.
Okay.
Hi, I'm from Beantown.
You need to start...
My own animated series, Beantown?
Yep.
Yeah. Kanye West has lost his mind.
Yes, he has.
Last night,
I stopped following his Twitter account because he stopped tweeting.
Well, he's back. He did a 3-hour Twitter tirade last night.
That's what I hear.
As they say in the hood, he went all bean.
Oh, is that what they say in the hood?
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. 3 hours of tweets ranging on a variety of subjects, from his new line of Nike sneakers that he's creating.
Okay.
To designing the MTV Video Music Awards.
Is he doing that?
No.
Just his ideas on it?
Just talking about it.
Okay.
Starting up a summer school with director Spike Jones.
Okay.
And more importantly, most importantly, I would have to say, being the creative director for the Jetsons movie.
Which he's doing?
Nope.
He's not doing that. What's happening?
He's insane.
He has dreams, Kevin. That's what's happening. He has dreams. He woke up in 2012 and he said, I need to start making a difference
in
this
world.
Was he
drunk tweeting?
Well, they think he may have imbibed something. Maybe not Chirac, but...
Sure.
Something that comes in plant form or something. I don't know.
No, I'm not sure what that would be.
He seemed very motivated.
Now he has
to share his dreams and thoughts.
He has a plan now that Steve Jobs is gone to pick up where Mr. Jobs left off and change the world in myriad of different ways,
yes,
right?
In important ways, like being the creative director of the Jetsons movie. And he said someone suggested him he do a Jetsons tour.
How would that
have his own tour have a Jetsons theme to it?
Because the Jetsons are so popular?
He said that's crazy. That's crazy.
That is crazy talk.
Sure. But the director of the Jetsons movie.
Twitter is good just so that we know when celebrities go off the rails.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we know.
He wants people to start writing him with good ideas of things he should do.
Bean, that's a marriage made in heaven between you two. You should recategorize all the CDs in the record store. You can give him all these good ideas of things that bother you that
I
he
do
can
have
get
some
done.
Thoughts.
I know you do. Jeremy Renner was beat up in Thailand. One of his friends that he was brawling with in an early morning bar was left in serious condition after getting stabbed in the neck with a rotor axe.
Man, oh man.
Rotor axe, for those of you who aren't familiar with that particular weapon, it's an axe, but it's got a semicircular blade on the end of it. You've seen them. They carry them in the medieval movies and that kind of stuff.
It's like a medieval time thing. Who has those?
It's a serious weapon. Guy was stabbed in the neck and the stomach. His name was Varasid Asara. He's the general manager of the resort where... Jeremy was staying. He was out there with a bunch of guys partying well into the morning. 4:30 a.m. is when it happened. They were at a particular bar when things got nasty and the brawl started, and this guy ended up in the hospital. Jeremy's just been suffering from minor injuries, apparently.
He's a faster runner.
Yes.
Get away.
Plus, he's Hawkeye. You know, he pulled out that bow and arrow and probably took care of business. He's in the new Avengers movie. He plays Hawkeye, the superhero Hawkeye in the new Avengers.
There was a reference there.
Okay. I thought I was missing something from the past. Hawkeye.
You were talking about Steve Jobs earlier in relation to the Kanye story. Great news. You ready for the Steve Jobs action figure?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think we need
that. You get the Steve Jobs action figure.
Isn't it a little late?
It should be an in-action figure now with him. But how much action was he doing when he was alive?
He stands on stage with a pointer.
Or sit behind a computer. Icons is the name of the company. They're creating a doll with has an exact likeness of Steve Jobs. Comes with Steve's wardrobe. Mm-hmm. You get a miniature black turtleneck and little tiny New Balance sneakers.
Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you read the book?
That's a terrible idea.
No, but my wife did. She said it was fascinating.
It was apparently, by all accounts, the most interesting read of the whole year.
I looked at it. It was way too thick for
too
me.
Many
I
words.
Can't get through that many words.
Too many words.
Yeah.
Kevin just has his wife read things and then
summarize. Gives him a report in the morning.
It's like a baby bird. The mother bird will come back to the nest and then just regurgitate the worms or whatever she's eaten that day and just feed it to the tiny little baby bird so he can have just enough that he can absorb and understand.
So how does it work? Your wife will read a book, and she's a voracious reader, a fast reader. So she'll read the Steve Jobs book, and then at breakfast the next day she'll just give you like bullet points of four things that you might be interested in, and that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do that for the shows sometimes. When I take home a book, like we're going to have an author on, I give it to her, and I just go, give me some notes on
it. Does she start the story with Once Upon a Time for You and end it with They All Lived Happily Ever After?
Usually, yes.
I'm just wondering. Amber Rose. While we're talking about Kanye, his ex-girlfriend Amber Rose has nothing nice to say about Kim Kardashian. She's talking to Star Magazine.
No, she shouldn't.
About porn star Kim Kardashian saying that Kanye cheated on her with Kim, who happened to be with Reggie Bush at the time. So Kim was cheating on Reggie, and Kanye was cheating on Amber Rose when they got together.
Where's that video?
Yeah. Model swears that Kim initiated the affair by sending Kanye all kinds of racy pictures. And when Amber tried to address the situation with her, she refused to answer her calls. Well, that's smart, because Amber Rose would kick her ass.
Yeah.
Anyway, despite the situation, Amber says she'd like to thank porn star Kim Kardashian for being a homewrecker, in her words, because now she's found true love with Wiz Khalifa, who, by the way, should always be categorized under K in the record store.
I agree. I think so. It'd be absurd to put it under
Look at me like I'm the asshole.
It's a bean tweeted.
Can't believe that. You ready for the Kardashian magazine, by the way?
No.
Can I pass on that?
No, you can't. It's coming.
That's a terrible idea.
This spring is the tentative launch date for Kardashian the magazine.
No. What are they going to put in it? Do you have any idea?
I'm assuming pictures of the Kardashians.
No. Fashion tips and stuff?
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, they won't write it.
Diet tips from Khloe?
I hope. Kris Jenner's plastic surgery tips?
American Media Incorporated, the company that owns Star and Shape and the National Enquirer, is in talks with the Kardashians about publishing their own magazine.
I'm sorry, what was Khloe's diet plan?
Eat more. That's her diet plan. The magazine will be similar to Kim Kardashian's Celeb Buzz blog. I don't know if you look at celebbuzz.com. But the New York Post reporting story says it's basically packed with family happenings and plugs for sponsors.
Wow.
So why not, Bean? This is America.
It is America. And Khloe has done something good, believe it or not.
I don't.
She used her power of the tweet to do some good. She sent out a tweet to her 5.6 million followers, mind you.
Khloe has that
Khloe
many?
Khloe has 5.6 million followers.
I can at least understand following Kim because she sometimes tweets bikini photos. But why follow Khloe?
I don't know. Sometimes she releases back shaving tips. I've understood. She's had to reach those hard to get to places. She tweeted to her followers, "Donate $10 to the World Wildlife Fund," and the response apparently was tremendous. Apparently, over $6,000 was raised.
What?
600 people did it.
Wow.
$6,000 was raised.
Good news for the charity
to help protect wild animals, and you can see why Khloe Kardashian would want to protect wild animals. One of her own kind.
Yeah.
Keep them safe. Hugh Jackman just sold out his run on Broadway. He's going back to The Great White Way on 2013. He will be starring in a new musical based on the life of Harry Houdini.
Bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Aaron Sorkin's writing the script.
That's a terrible idea.
And the songs are brought to you by the folks who did Wicked. You ever seen Wicked? It's a good musical.
I know
Wicked.
Lisa has.
Yes, of course I have. It's fabulous.
Wicked. It's lovely. It's magical. And why do celebrities seem to be able to get along with their exes better than we do?
Because they lie.
Russell Brand says, though he is divorcing Katy Perry, he would still like to work with her. In fact, he'd like to cast her in a film.
He'd like to work with her,
They had been working on script ideas while they were married that featured Russell in the female lead and Katy as a... Russell's the male lead and Katie's the female lead. And he hopes it can still happen. He says, "I still adore her and we're parting on very good times." In terms, right?
I don't know. That movie doesn't need to happen.
Speaking of movies that don't need to happen, do we need a sequel to Horrible Bosses?
No.
Comedy starring Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis. They are now hard at work at a second one. Bridesmaids, also sequel to that in the works.
That was funny.
That'd be okay.
That's a kerfluffle, though, because I guess Kristen Wiig didn't want to have anything to do with it, right?
And really? She's smart. Here's the thing about comedy specifically. Comedy's built around surprise. The freshness of a situation or a take or a line or a character, that's what really makes you laugh hard. when you've got all that behind you and you're familiar with it and you go into, there's no way you really can recapture that same success.
It's very hard to think of a comedy sequel movie that has been good.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Yeah.
They're all paid. I mean, even, you know, you think about Anchorman comes out and people go, oh, what can we do with that? Let's Evan Almighty. That's what comes out of after. You know what I mean? There's so many examples
like
that.
And you know the gag. You know the shtick. God comes down again and gives him the power to do whatever he wants. We saw it in the first one. And it's just, it's never successful. And finally, congratulations to Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, Benedict.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Does good work.
Has picked up the lead role as the villain in the new Star Trek movie. He was Sherlock Holmes in the BBC series. You ever see that Sherlock Holmes series?
I don't think I ever saw the BBC one.
He plays Holmes, and the guy who plays Tim in the British office.
Yes.
Plays his Holmes, his Watson, rather.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's an updated version of it. It's modern times.
Oh.
They play Holmes and Watson. It's a really good series. You should check it out if you get a chance. He also played Stephen Hawking in the biographical film Hawking in 2004. Currently can be seen in War Horse. So he's a very successful British actor. And now Benedict Cumberbatch will be the bad guy in Star Trek. Although with a name like that, he really should be in a Harry Potter movie.
Should be.
I am Benedict Cumberbatch. Welcome to the class where you learn how to make things out of wood.
They have that class.
Yeah, they do.
Make magical things spell. Out of wood?
I don't think so. That's a shop? That
it's wood shop, basically.
I
yes.
think they have
but
that.
Look, Hogwarts. Wizards need to know how to make like a cutting board or a keychain hanger or something like that.
Do their magic, though. That's a Harry Potter plotline that they never really fully fleshed out in the other eight movies.
They didn't really focus on some of the, you know, choices you had to take classes there.
All right.
You know, wood shop.
Too much Quidditch and not enough wood shop.
Yeah.
I see.
Small engine repair. That kind of things that came in useful. They never covered that stuff.
Put it on the DVD.
There was a whole other wing to Hogwarts that featured practical things. Today's celebrity birthdays: Robert Duvall is 81 years old. Charlie Rose is 70. Diane Keaton, 66 years old today. The Love Boat bartender is 64 years old. Vinnie Jones turns 47. Marilyn Manson, 43. Bradley Cooper, 37. I guess Hangover 2 is an example of a comedy. So
I was thinking,
a second time.
An unnecessary comedy.
Yes. It was great.
It was funny, but it wasn't as funny as the first
one. It wasn't as funny, and it's not possible.
Because you saw it coming. You saw everything coming down the pike because you had been there before, right?
It was as good as you could do a sequel to that movie.
But not as good as the first one.
Agreed.
So we're saying there's always diminishing returns, especially when it comes to comedy, because you're familiar with the setup.
Just remember Ghostbusters 2 when you have the premise, you know, the idea, hey, the crazy idea, let's make a sequel to that great comic.
Yeah.
Right?
I do want to see a third one, though. Isn't that strange? Having said all that, I would still want to see Ghostbusters 3. January Jones is 34 years old today, and Kristen Cavallari turns 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the Movie Beat. It is Friday morning. We have Cousin Sal talking about his NFL picks for this weekend. We have Matt Wadsworth, who is a motorcycle. He jumps motorcycles. And
he's a motorcycle?
He's not a motorcycle.
I want to talk to that guy.
He rides motorcycles and jumps them, and he's blind.
Why is he going to do that?
So he's got that going on for him.
Does he know he's doing it?
Or is this a practical joke that somebody is playing on?
I think he's on a roller coaster.
The worst Christmas gift ever. We're going to talk about the mugs.
The beer mugs.
I was shaking my head.
The guy's Jewish. He doesn't know much about Christmas. Cut him a slack. He doesn't have a lot of experience with that holiday.
It's unbelievable.
And Jersey Shore comes back tonight, so LaQuisha comes back tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.